currently addressing to the committee the things that they agreed upon and how they would suggest change the bill. But we have, now you see another re-engrowth bill that the topics are coming back up. So what we're looking at is an engrowth bill, which is not the right bill. Okay. Then Senator Halleck and Gordon, both from the counties, have some concern relative to the planning, land use planning aspect of the bill, and that section is what,
18 to 23.
Can you express?
All right, maybe they're all right. And I don't care. It's you who should care.
Mm-hmm. Well,
all right,
I'm
100 passed, like it or not. Mm-hmm. And you wanted county autonomy. Mm-hmm. You've got it. Now, maybe his reservations aren't right. 20 says you have a program. 21 says you have a program, and you'll all consult.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it doesn't bind anybody.
Mm-hmm.
22 is all right, because when a district submits to that commission its program and work plan, they, of course, whether it's from this commission, it's still all right with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's subservient to LCDC ratification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
Then maybe Section 23, sub 2, just counties, all I care about. Counties and so forth shall give the board of the district an opportunity to review and comment on proposed zoning ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if that means that the right to adopt the ordinances is absolutely intact themselves, okay.
The counties.
The counties. Then in line 6 of page 18, the district can give them a list of provisions it recommends for inclusion, but doesn't say that it's going to coerce or bind the county to necessarily include them. Now, okay, that's all okay, as long as, going back to page 15, section 18 is all right. Now, section 18 got scary. It's his present language,
mm-hmm.
which I admit he just stumbled on.
Mm-hmm.
When you look down into sub 2, section 18, land use regulations in ordinances, when endorsed for the commission. Now, that's the commission.
That's the Soil Conservation Commission.
All right, now.
Isn't that right? Isn't
all right,
okay?
That's the commission in the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Forget that it's present language for a
mm-hmm.
minute. Are you sure that you want the district directors to have the commission have the power to ratify the ordinance? You know it's present language. Are you sure you want that? Now, the protection about as far as the landowners is up there above it in sub 1, that when they do enact ordinances, they'll have 2/3, which is, I don't know whether you like, that's a weakening. Again, that doesn't mean anything to me, but it's from 3/4 to 2/3. In a referendum representing a majority, that's a weakening from 66 to 51%. Now, all I'm saying now, the Association of Oregon County thinks it's okay. It's whether you think it's okay. You don't think it's okay.
Well,
I think something that'll be done about 18, and the amendments are all right, because they talk about programs developed in compliance with rules, regulations, and so forth. Other things that local government. All right, so if that means it's sort of working down, if these long-range programs cannot abrogate the work of a county. My job is simply having gone along with the association thus far to bring to your attention, because you defended county sovereignty, the fact that this little document won't suddenly come along and unhook county sovereignty.
Well, in response to your observation, I think they're well taken, and they're good, they're noteworthy. I'll get a copy of the endorsed bill. I have a personal
particular endorsed bill.
Okay, well, I would appeal one. I personally, having had experience with soil conservation districts, I have no fear of what they do. And I guess from that standpoint, that's existing law, apparently, and heretofore, or up to this point, I personally have had no problems with them, and therefore would believe that we aren't doing anything that's going to violate the majority of the...
We didn't have LCDC. We didn't have LCDC. I'm not even concerned about it. And there's grazing here, and we got a little bill, a little law.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's got to do with a whole bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
Grazing and run stock and drill wells and
mm-hmm.
build schools. And if anybody got any funny planning ideas,
mm-hmm.
with really Soil and Water Committee, even their bag. I don't care what the language says. Mm-hmm. There's a little problem there that was just brought to my attention. Well, and then when you added sections, new sections on programs and plans, mm-hmm. I admit I wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
If it's misused, all you're going to do is to create another adversary. You could create an adversary relationship because of 100 mm-hmm. between county, district, commission. Where LCDC sits up here, and you yourself didn't, you know, hope there wouldn't be a bunch of mm-hmm. squabbles down at this level before you go to the appellate route. That's for all of us to be thinking.
Gordon, you have some reaction to this.
Eighteen is the bothersome one on the construction of the thing, because it says right there in line 14, land use regulations prescribing ordinances. So now, if you're down to implementation, if the county suddenly has yielded its sovereignty,
what are those two?
That's 630 to 690?
Yeah.
Well, we'd have to look them up. I don't know.
Can you get that done?
Well, I did my job. I told Gordon I'd come and help bring it to your attention.
Yeah. Oh, we appreciate that. What I'll probably do, rather than pass the bill out at this point, if you're supposed to pass it out, I think I'll respond to Bud Sullivan. I want to ask him what this is primarily their bill.
So you remember, Mr. Chairman, that we just let Senate Bill 300 quietly go to sleep, because I'm about to have the Water Resources Board do the same thing that 100 does. Well, you have the seed, present, extant language, and new language of what 300, which is anathema to me, and I think, frankly, to everybody, a duplicate plan of law.
Okay, well, we'll ask their comment, and I'll instruct Don to speak that out, specifically 18.
Did you need to adopt these things?
I don't see the need to document this point. The record will show that we have it on the regular bill with the legal. Those amendments were in agreement from everybody, and I don't think you have to have testimony on the amendment. It was a committee that involved the party's judgment. What does 630 through 690 say? Okay, that deals with
what has to be on the ballot.
Okay. I'm trying to think of the Soil and Water Conservation District that I'm aware of. And where would you ever be in conflict with what the county wants to do? Primarily because those districts are formed out in rural areas that some of you probably don't have one used anyway.
That's probably true. Again, we were reacting to the magnitude of the expansion of authority when the county came to talk about, and the potential that regulation could result in might be in conflict and in another way. Not knowing the history of how many districts there are.
Normally they're regulations. I don't know that they're too far reaching, but primarily they're in the line that encourages the development of a plan for a farm, and the farmer carries that plan out, which is primarily a soil and water conservation plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the extent of most planning that they do, I think. Is that right, St. Jones? You followed this bill, you've heard it in the House, and you have probably followed the conflict that has arisen here.
Well, that's kind of the concern that I had was in the makeup of the board, under this new bill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two land occupiers on there now, which has pretty broad meaning, I would say. If you're on a state lot, if you're an occupier.
We discussed that the other day in committee, and I'm not so sure that we finally resolved that, Don. Or did we?
The amendment that came in today, find it further, you have to talk or something.
Okay, on page 12, addressing our Salcedo's amendment. Line 14. After occupiers and insert who reside in the district. And then on line 16, delete use and insert manage more than 10 acres of land within the district. And on line 18, delete use and manage so that we manage more than 10 acres of land within the district. I guess that probably is the least common denominator. It's the 10 acres and live in the district and manage land in the district.
That's determined. That's an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And that softens the bill considerable. As long as it takes the city dweller out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And makes it at least 10 acres or more. But it would help.
Well, there's any other concern that you had of that bill?
What's the matter with that city dwellers here? Don't do that.
You gotta watch them.
Trying to attend our problem.
You just gotta watch them, is all.
And nothing really matters when
they send
it in their place. As long as they stay in their city where they belong, is that what you're saying?
I think that's what he's. And I think this is the difference in what Senator Halleck is talking about. We're used to over here, and none of us. I'm sorry to say, Chris, I'm sorry for this, but too greatly, and you know, I don't think you have the big open spaces you have here.
You
these problems that we're facing here. Everybody looks at, we just stay with a fine-tooth comb, looking for how they're trying to do something to someone.
And Senator, if I might just add a little to that, I was always concerned about who paid the bill for the suggestions and rules that some city brother might impose on the county. They would help him bill.
Gordon, would you express your concern to Mr. Salver too in the Sorrel Conservation Division or District or whatever you call it, Commission? I guess it's Commission. Would you be willing to do that with Don?
Sure.
So we can get the bill either out or whatever we're going to do. You follow that, Senator Nichols?
I agree with what he told me.
We'll know, I guess. We'll delay action until Friday.
That's a good long day. Thanks.
We'll try to delay action until Monday.
All right, Monday's a good long day.
Whatever it says. Okay, let's work with House Bill 2010, which is scheduled for a work session today. Well, combination of both primarily. We have.
We got Representative Martin and. Okay.
You want to testify on the bill, Brad? All right, you certainly. Denny, did you come to testify or did you come to visit?
Chairman, I just come to help out with that.
Help out. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I don't want to take much of your time. This is a very long bill, but major provisions on all the pages will give you no problems at all, but there are going to be two or three areas where you will have problems. You have half the people in the room are here about an amendment that's made in the way it's mentioned, and it has come out of this ad committee at all. This is the major work of the Intercommittee on Natural Resources, and what it is, very simply, is a rewrite of the entire game code of the state of Oregon. And Bob Holloway and Chuck Wilson can speak to the necessity of that and so forth. I'd like to identify politically for you where the problem areas are. Some have been solved in other bills, and some you may have to try to make a few changes. This bill's probably been rewritten 10 times at least. Now, if you turn to page 29 of the bill, you will see what I meant about the amendments made in the Ways and Means Committee. The intent of the Interim Committee and the regular Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee in the House was not to make substantive changes.
I'm sorry, right. What page did you refer to?
29.
Okay, all right.
The intent of the committee was not to make the kinds of substantive changes, or to make as few as possible, and not make the ones that would stir the controversy and make the whole bill go down over that. And perhaps the Ways and Means Committee created that by amending the bill to require a charter boat license. and also to require on page 31 that no guide shall operate in waters without first obtaining that license.
Where's the chartable license?
Well, inspection rule.
No, are you using a...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm using... I have my secretary amend the regular bill so I can see all the numbers there. Page 31?
Page 30.
That charitable license is one that has not existed. It was a means of raising funds, and I would really not want to justify why the way the means we did. And they don't have to.
That's $100 license. Is that what you're referring to?
$50 and $100 license.
Where is that?
It's kind of
the new bill. Where is that? Is that what we got every month?
Then I can.
The resident annual chartable operator's license is $50. And the non-resident annual chartable operator's license is $100. And that's an amendment that was made in the original. And I'm not going to speak to the attempt was not to change the other license amounts and so forth. The other controversial section, section 84.
We passed a bill here by the Marine Board. To keep this from being real controversy, we took things out of there. Put that in the Marine Board, right? That would take care of what it means, but it wouldn't fall down here and let that fly on its own merit.
Finally, I just think Ways and Means published or put out their own bills and made their appropriations and, you know, got their money in their own bills and stopped dealing around with legislation that somebody's to work on for a year and a half.
Mr. Chairman, on top of page 40 in section 84, I see that I have the engrossed house bill 2010.
That's the one. Now, let me speak.
Well, I have a question for you.
That's just law.
Well, my question was going to be, I see that we do agree on capital punishment.
Well, existing law allows the enforcement officers to, after attempting to find the owner of a dog and notify him that he has a dog running wild and harassing wildlife, to shoot the dog. I guarantee you, this is one section we went around and around, and we almost got shot in the Roseburg Courthouse during the interim because the dog owner thought we were going to really go after him. And there's a representative of the United Dogs Owner Club to he will speak to this, I'm sure. We backed away from an amendment that did not require the law enforcement people to notify the dog owner and attempted to rewrite that section so it closely follows existing law. The next section that gave us a great bit of problem was section 88, which prohibits the use of a vehicle or the use of lights and hunting. And we've gone around, and I can tell you that section 88, I have spent a great deal of time talking to the Oregon Environmental Council trying to find language. It would still allow the commission by rule, in occasion for the need, to allow the use of lights, the use of vehicles, but still tone it down so that there's not a mass posse in Eastern Oregon with half-track vehicles trying to shoot all the wildlife, which is the opinion that some people get. I can tell you the Oregon Wildlife, Oregon Environmental Council did support the bill. They did hope that a couple of specific things could be changed. We did not come up with an adequate definition of prohibiting people from using helicopters. I'm sorry, that's section 87. But there's another bill. This is the best language that we can get the committee to agree on. There's another bill that's already passed the House, and it should come to your committee. We have to really deal with the helicopter problem, and I think that you need a substitute to let that bill follow this one and amend that section. And the one other thing that nobody has been able to really understand, and I'd like to spend a little time talking to you about, is section 90. Section 90 does make a change from existing law. At the present time, the game commission by regulation can open an agreement can allow hunting within cities, and you can, and I'm sure some of you from the rural area know of cities that have large amounts of them in the developed area within the city limits, and they can allow hunting in those areas. Now, even when you talk about hunting in cities, somebody gets a vision of a guy with a shotgun walking down Broadway in Portland hunting for something. That's not at all what the commission ever had in mind. Public parks and school land. Now, at the present time, you can also hunt in cemeteries. The bill, as it's now written, takes cemeteries out of there altogether. You cannot prohibit the hunting in cemeteries.
Can't have a cemetery.
You cannot hunt. You can now.
No, you can't.
You can't. We passed the bill.
We passed the bill and it said you can't, but you really couldn't.
Let's not argue about that point. School grounds, the best example, and you may have talked about this already. Oregon State University has a very large amount of ground north of, Corvallis.
Corvallis,
where they have carried on controlled hunting on black-tailed deer for a great length of time. If the bill did not allow hunting on school lands, that would close that forest. So that's the kind of example we're talking about. And again, we're not talking about hunting on public playgrounds somewhere in the school grounds in an urban area. The last and most important part is that the Game Commission or the new Wildlife Commission on this bill may, by regulation in cooperation with the Highway Commission, the Parks Division, open certain state parks to hunting. Now, again, people conjure up the idea of 4th of July down at Fort Stevens and people shooting through the trailers and so forth. That's not at all what anyone has in mind. The best example is that the Parks Division right now is buying massive properties along the Willamette River, the Willamette Parkway system. The land they're buying has, for 100 years, been open to waterfowl hunting. A lot of people in the state that don't belong to a hunting club, and they've been hunting out there in November and December when nobody's picnicking and nobody's taking a canoe down the river. And they've hunted those sand gravel bars for geese and for ducks. If you don't make a provision in this bill, those lands, if they're purchased by the Parks Division, will be automatically closed to hunting. And it only makes sense if they'd be allowed to continue where the Parks Division thinks it's okay and there's no conflict, and where the Game Commission agrees. So we're not including massive numbers of state parks all over the state, and I'm sure the original feeling of the Parks Division, the State Highway Commission, is we don't want anything to do with it. And when we sat down and talked, and they said, all right, I even see the reason for it. But they are not going to open up a lot of parks. Those are the political sections, and I wanted to mention them. Chuck Wilson and Paul Holloway can really go through this in depth and give you as much detail as you'd like, and you could spend a couple of months on it. I hope the session doesn't long last long enough to have you do that, so I hope you consider seeing it.
Okay, are there questions that anyone
should
ask?
Well, I've had a lot of calls about this kind of thing.
It was turned on by an article in the newspaper 3 months ago. It was the House passed Cunningham Park bill.
Yeah.
And it's 100 pages long, but that's the one section of the bill.
I got a list of the parks that where the old park land is undeveloped. That's down by Wolf Creek. Big park there was owned by the state, donated by the state. Years ago, there's a park or anything there, and it's good hunting territory, and there's no reason it just had to be open to hunting. It's all hunted anyway, but and no sensible state police would have a problem with that. But once in a while, we got somebody even quite suspicious. I thought maybe the state police.
Okay.
He was bad.
We have signed up to testify. I guess I'll just start down the list. The committee has to leave, and I haven't announced it, but there's a meeting, and I'm going to go, and I assume the committee would be willing to go. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go, but there's a meeting with Senator Bo in his office at 4 o'clock with myself. The question was between myself, the committee, and President Bo to discuss. It was called at the request of Norman Rydell, President of the Western Oregon Livestock Association, to talk about the research program going on and the work done by the Agricultural Research Advisory Council. That meeting is scheduled for 4 o'clock, and members of the city will adjourn to that point. We'll do that. If you don't care to go, that's fine for you to go and go to the meeting for 4 then.
We'll let Lisa and Hoyt on the other.
Well, I'm inviting them to go.
Yeah, I just wanted to.
We'll continue then with Don Christensen, Newport, the Oregon Guides and Packers Association, I assume.
Yes, I'll hurry this as much as I can, so I'm glad to keep the lead. Our main objection, now, I have, this copy I have is to
you got to get better off the wheel.
That keeps me even. Well, I'm Don Christensen, I reside in Newport, and I operate a charitable firm there. I'm here representing the Oregon Dodge and Packers Association in this discussion on this bill. We have no objection to the bill itself, with the exception of paragraph 2 under section 58, which is on page 31, I guess, in Greenville's summary. In fact, the advisory committee from our organization, way back on the start of this recodification idea, had their foot in the door, and we assisted the Green Commission a little bit in starting this whole bill. And I hope that what happens here isn't going to hold this thing up, because I know it needs to be reduced. But we are the Green Commission, have nothing to do with having this useless amendment in here, as we call it. According to Representative Keith Shelton in his speech on the floor of the House on May the 25th, 1972, the House Ways and Means Committee had in mind a doing business pact when they added this amendment. There are some 500 licensed guides in the state of Oregon, and we can't understand why only one small segment of the guiding industry, actually about one-fourth, was singled out to pay this tax, which we do not think is necessary in the first place. The legislature has already set the amount of money that the Game Commission will be allowed to spend in the next 2 years. The adequate reserves have been set aside for emergencies and set on the next budget period. Also, in Mr. Skelton's speech, there seemed to be a lot of confusion about the difference between a commercial fishing boat and a charter fishing boat. According to the United States Coast Guard and the Oregon State Marine Board, a charter vessel is one which carries passengers for hire. The safety factors and boat regulations are governed by these two bodies and the Federal Communications Commission. The game they take is governed by the Oregon Game Code and sport hunting and fishing regulations. They have nothing to do with poundage fees, commercial licenses, or commercial fishing itself, and little to do with fish commission regulations. Mr. Skelton also indicated that foreign fishermen, which I assume means non-residents, although I'm a little confused about some of his wording, can buy a guide's license here for $15. This is not true, as Oregon has a reciprocal agreement with other states about non-resident guide licenses, and in no case that I know of is a fee less than $100. We do, however, have an increasing number of non-residents invading our state with groups they guide on scenic trips on some of our waters. There is no law at present to govern these guides, but House Bill 2318 was set up to correct that situation. Now, I'll digress a little from our prepared testimony here and talk a little bit about 2318 and tell you what it's about.
Chairman, I'm really passed 2318.
Yeah,
the Senate passed it over there.
I was very happy. I heard this morning that you had passed it there. I suppose not that you didn't. But
while we're talking, and I recall a hearing on that bill, do we need to make an appropriate amendment to this bill and take care of that, or what's the...
Well, I have a suggestion that I'd like to make about 2318.
Chuck, will you make note of that then? Okay.
Now, this bill, 2318, originated through cooperative efforts of the Game Commission, the State Marine Board, and our organization. We have an advisory committee that's been appointed to sit in with the Game Commission on matters pertaining to guiding. And this very thing that started the whole thing, we've got out-of-state guides coming in here, and under no kind of regulation, no experience requirements, no license of any kind, because there's no law to govern them, because they were not fishing game fish or game birds or animals. So this started the whole thing out. We have spent, 2 years, Bob, or close to it, planning changes in qualifications for guides. And in order to do it properly, we had to go with the Marine Board, and we found that the Marine Board had to have legislation to give them the authority to do what needed to be done to help us. We checked with the Attorney General. He agreed that the Game Commission already has regulatory powers to take care of their index. So actually, 2318 is very important to us. Once this bill is through, then we can go ahead with our plans that we started to formulate quite some time ago. And we intend through this to make a guide's license mean something to a person. When we get done with the regulations and rules that we're trying to set up on it, if a fellow gets a guide's license, he's going to earn it. He's not going to go down to a $15 and buy it like he does now. And in the process, it's very, very likely there's going to be a raise in the guide's license fees. Now, if the Ways and Means Committees and others will just get off our back and let us run our own business, in the very near future, we'll be putting more net cash money into the Game Commission's cash registry,
with less bother, less effort, less expense than this amendment could ever do. And I think probably if you just stop this thing out and let us go ahead, that we'll raise more money than this thing ever will.
What's the impact, what would be the fiscal impact of deleting that section from the bill? Anyone know offhand how many licenses that we're looking at?
Approximately,
right here, 5,000.
You're looking at a figure of about $10,000 a year. In other words, you've got about 200 charter boat operators, roughly 200. Come under the terms of this, $50 a pack is $10,000.
Have you checked into that box? How about if it's that many?
Oh, yeah, we checked into that. All the coast, all the way to Brooklyn Sound. Oh, yeah, it's the best thing we can come up with.
All right, then, with the bill that we passed, that doesn't have licensing in it, 2318, does it?
No.
No fees. Well, apparently what the committee's trying to do is raise some more money for the game. Now, if we just raise the guide license itself and do away with this thing, we're going to raise the same amount of money, and the wheels are already set up to issue a guide license. This thing, they would have to print new licenses, set up an enforcement division, and all kinds of other deals to take care of it and administer it. They wouldn't have anything left when they get done. That's what I'm trying to suggest. Anyway, to go ahead. Mr. Shelton also said, quote, "The people who operate charter boats have been having a free ride for years," unquote. "I've been around this business for 22 years, and I certainly cannot recall any time that my business or any other charter business experienced what they could call a free ride. We have so many licenses and printed regulations that must be displayed under suitable transparent material in the pilot house of the vessel that we find difficult in finding wall space for anymore. According to the Oregon Game Commission's last biennial report for the years 1970 and 71, 588,874 one-day angler's licenses were sold during that period, with a total value of $883,311. A large majority of these licenses were sold through agencies and charter boat offices, and probably would not have been sold had the charter boats not been available. In addition, the side spending of our customers and all the businesses along the coast vastly exceeds the amount spent with us. A guide is also a valuable tool to the Game Commission's propagation, conservation, education, and enforcement programs. Under penalty of license suspension, he must personally obey and see to it that his clients do likewise all game laws and regulations. Due to his close personal contact with more people, he is probably more valuable in education and enforcement than a police officer. For this privilege of being what one might call an honorary game officer, he must pay the Game Commission $15 per year instead of being on their payroll. In addition, he must buy a license from the State Marine Board for his vessel, which has not been mentioned until now by Mr. Skelton or anyone else. The charter boat operator must be licensed by the United States Coast Guard, and he has several licenses with fees attached from the Federal Communications Commission. The city he operates from usually charges him for a business license. Due to new FCC regulations, all marine radios must be changed to VHF in very high frequency within the next 5 years. Mine has already come due, and because of FCC regulations, which apply only to passenger vessels, my new $450 radio cost me $742.60. And that's a good story. In Newport, the charter boats operate basically from April the 1st to October the 15th, and in some areas they operate only from June through September. We have an average of only about 100 days per year that one could call a real busy operation. Most of these boats are not suitable for wintertime ocean operation, and there is little field for other inland opportunities. Insurance costs are very high, for most boats are laid up and out of service for 6 to 8 months each year. Very few charter boat operators can exist without other wintertime employment. If this amendment should become law as is, now this is where we're a little bit off, Bob. If you had to see of that much, we didn't think there were that many charter boat operators on the coast. We figured a lot less than that. But as I have it here, the total additional income to the Game Commission would amount to roughly $6,000 per year. After administration costs, the balance would be insignificant. It appears to us that the whole idea would be nothing more than another headache for the Commission to contend with. Therefore, we respectfully request that this amendment be deleted from House Bill 2020. I have a copy here for it. I have a copy of Mr. Shelton's speech, what he said on the floor of the House. Another thing we can understand about this This no guide shall operate a boat in the performance of his duties in those waters of the Pacific Ocean within the boundaries of this state that are west of Highway 101, unless he first obtains from the commission a ferry boat operator license. If that isn't discriminating, I'm not going to know why.
Okay, your main concern is the license fee of, an additional fee of $50, is that what we're looking at?
That's right, a resident will be $50. Yeah.
For those people that are offering, well, that's something that we'll have to just wrestle with, I guess, as a committee.
I'd like to suggest that we send a letter to Representative Stelton saying that we're considering taking out that license and then ask him to come and justify it with us. They're doing this on bills that, and really, this is more administrative expense. When they get done, they're just going to break even anyway, and we're going to have another.
We'll follow up on that.
True. I think, and I don't think people either, whether they sell it, either come. You take it out and maybe just talk a little bit on the floor about it, but that's
what I'm saying. I've included a copy here of what he said, and obviously they know what he was talking about.
Just that there's a lot of money, I would,
Okay, Don, is that the essence of what you have? I'm trying to get to the people who are going to testify and make it by 4 o'clock. What I'm concerned about. I appreciate your indulgence.
You never took your attention, huh?
Mr. Hume, do you have the addition to offer to that? Or
yes, that's right.
Okay, good. You come ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Rod Hume, and I reside in Newport also. I'll go through this briefly. I know you're in a hurry here, and I'll read my prepared testimony, and if you have questions after it, I'll be happy to answer. I originally moved to Newport about 3 years ago to become actively involved in the charter business then. In a very short time, I found it would be impossible for me to make a living here around the charter business. I now operate the restaurant in the Dunes Motel at Newport, and I only take relief and emergency charter trips. I am here to protest Amendment 58 House Bill 2010. I feel that Amendment 58 should be deleted for a number of reasons.
That's Section 58 you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, Section 58. Charter boat operators perform without pay a number of services to the public free of charge for which they are not duly credited. One only has to visit an Oregon coastal port on a foggy summer morning to observe not only the sport fishing fleet, but also the commercial dory fleet, waiting at the dock for one or some of the charter skippers to venture across the bar and radio back the bar conditions. A charter boat operator must pass a very rigid test to obtain his license. The rules and regulations that he must memorize to pass this test makes him a very special person. To those disbelievers, I respectfully suggest that they contact the Coast Guard and attempt to take the examination for charter license. Every year, countless hundreds and even thousands of sport and commercial fishermen owe their safe passage home through the ability of a charter skipper to navigate safely in the fog. I can personally say that the charter boat industry does as much or more than any other industry to contribute to the economy of our Newport area. My business and many other like businesses survive mostly because of side benefits derived from people associated in one way or another with the charter industry. The far-reaching benefits that other communities derive from the charter boat industry in the state of Oregon, in my opinion, is beyond calculation.
Now, you're addressing yourself in the same subsection that Mr. Peterson, or Christensen was.
That's correct.
Okay. What I was going to suggest is that the committee probably will take a hard second look at that, I would assume, at least if I gather the sentiment properly.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well,
I'd like to know what all the reasons were when it went in, and I want to know, before we act on it, And, well, anyway, it was an addition to that, Rod, in addition to that particular section that deals with the fee. Is that what you're referring to, I assume?
That's correct.
Okay. I think we had it pretty clear in mind what we're talking about, and certainly we'll endeavor to make certain that if it's in there, it's totally justified as opposed to being put in there for some reason we don't understand. Is there other sections in the bill that you want to address yourself to?
No.
Why don't we do this? It's agreeable with you. We'll follow up on it. We have your address and your name, and certainly if I'll leave it this way. If the committee is going to leave it in there, we'll certainly contact you before action is taken. Okay, we'll report whatever we found out in lieu of time that we're trying to do. Okay. Are there questions that anyone else would care to
ask?
Well, mine is a little bit different because I'm not directly associated with the University of Phoenix.
I wonder, is that something you can leave with us?
Yes,
what, you were reading from it, I assume.
That's correct.
Well, maybe you could do that, and we certainly have a chance to go over your part in the record of the committee.
Can we get a copy of it?
Yes, if you could, that'd be great. So, how's everything else in the report besides that?
Okay, now it's been very fine. Okay, any other questions?
We appreciate you coming over and talking to us, and I thank you.
What record did you say you wrestled?
The wrestling in the Dunes Motel in the park.
Senator Outerkirk is downstairs wrestling with the Fish Commission budget right now. Well, he'd be here to assure that you are well heard.
That's fine. We'll talk to him later.
All right.
I don't think we need to worry about him on that.
I think he's all right on that one, I think. All right. We appreciate you coming, man. And Bob Holloway from the Dunes Commission. Do you have formal testimony to present,
Bob?
I do
not. So I'm just here in the event of the meeting.
Okay.
Questions you might have.
I think we zeroed in to Chuck Wilson here from Legislative Council, Bob Holloway, which reminds me there's one question that was brought up by Captain Kirchner. If you refer to Section 26, and I assume that would be the same in the...
Which bill are we looking at?
Well, I think you can look at the engrossed bill, maybe, and it'll be in there. I'm not sure. Was that in the engrossed bill?
It's in the engrossed bill.
In the engrossed bill, Section 26 says, any person, as it's amended, it says, any person mentioned OS... 496645, who has probable cause to believe that a violation of livestock or wildlife laws or rules promulgated has been committed, there may be the search of person to examine, you know, boat, vehicle, whatever, for the game or whatever it may be. The old language stated was the officers may search, period. Now, Captain Hershey is here to simply say that they would request the committee reinstate the old language.
And reinstate officers?
Well, the thrust of the as it is now, an officer, as the bill is currently in our hands, current law says this, an officer may search, say you're hunting for pheasants, or you got a fish bag on your shoulder or whatever, and you...
It might be else there's any person.
Yes, it's been changed.
Yeah. But you want to insert.
Well, no. This is what he suggested, and I want the committee to advise what directions they should take. Currently, the law says that an officer may search. You've got a coat on. It's got a pouch. He walks up to you. You know, he'd want to see if you got pheasants or ducks or whatever you got in your bag. The bill, as amended, and the way it passed the House, says that the officer has to have probable cause before he can search. You follow the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Hershey talked to me and talked to Don and discussed the thrust of amending the bill back to where it would read, the officer may search.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question that they're here, and if you've got questions, now's the time to...
I'd like to direct the council. Question from Mr. Wilson, North Carolina, City Court. You know, that old saying, Senator Newley, because I'm not an attorney, but it seems to me that probable cause is something the court has enforced anyway.
That's one question,
that's a gloss on the word whether or not the probable cause is in the law. I can't
speak to why
that doesn't matter.
Does
he had language in there or not?
Well,
how does your bill start off reading?
It starts off in Section 26 with
just
like yours
does.
Did you say any person?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there's always language out there, that's Clint.
I'm sorry, did you get the thrust of your question?
Yes, I did. And the courts have interpreted search and seizure. The officer must have a probable cause. He can't just walk up to you and say, here, I want to work in the back pocket without having some cause to do so. So whether it's in the language or not, I would assume that the courts are going to require the police officers to do that. That is not true?
Bob Holloway, did you have a comment?
Okay, we concur with the position that Captain Hershey has taken, and working with him, I drafted a little amendment there that suggested the committee would take care of that. I just see it's not really gone, but...
I'd like to
tell you, my voice is true, but I would like to see it read any officer mentioned in ORF. So you can put any person first, and then you make these guys over here 4F496645 are the officers. Why have that person in there? You can say any officer mentioned in, and that covers all the officers.
Thank you for responding to that, Mr. Chairman. The reason for the deputy better government, the reason for having person there is because there are people that are that can enforce the wildlife laws that are not designated as officers. A forest ranger, for example, this kind of thing. Right, Don?
That's right.
Well, now, if a forest ranger wants to see somebody doing something wrong, what's wrong with him looking to see what somebody's got in their pocket?
Well, that's why we think the word person could be there as an officer. That's why I said.
Well, but they described him. All those guys in ORS 496645, I mean, they are officers. If they're deputized as foresters, they're officers. If I'm a deputy sheriff, deputized, and I described you there on the officer.
Well, for the committee,
or whoever asked the bill put in probable cause, they probably had a reason for it. Because probable cause is not required to search for a possible game violation at this time.
Mm-hmm.
In order to enforce that way, right? They interpret the other way.
They interpret it how?
You don't need probable cause. Search for a game violation.
How about for robbing a bank?
Yes, I have probable cause everywhere except the game violation.
The courts have interpreted it that way. Well, then, are you saying to us, as an attorney, if you don't care to respond, fine, but I guess I'm saying the amendment that has been put before us reinstates the old language. As an attorney and as one that's probably more knowledgeable in law, are you saying that that's the way that we should go in view of the fact that the courts interpret it that way, or do you feel that we ought to put in the language probable cause?
I personally feel that you have probable cause any time.
Okay, the question before us, and then we're going to have to go. Maybe it's an amendment that you would care to take up at a later work session when we continue working on the bill. But at any rate, the thrust of the amendment, the decision the committee has to make, whether we reinstate the old language or whether we go with the bill, passed by the House. If it passes by the House, uses the language probable cause, two-thirds, and the amendment says simply any person mentioned in ORS 496645 may search any person and examining both automobile, aircraft, and advanced vehicle, etc., for game bags and game coats. Yes,
it would be permissible to ask a question here at the end.
It would be certainly in order because I don't think anybody
What I'm wondering about is if under this amendment, if they stop somebody and kind of the case and so on, and you didn't find anything wrong, then are they liable under this? And my question again is what objections to the original
I think the objection, maybe one of principle was pointed out by the attorney from Newport.
Llewellyn? Yes.
Simply that currently now, under the disguise of existing language, people are searched and other things are discovered that wasn't, you know, wasn't a probable, there wasn't a probable cause to search for, i.e. marijuana in a fishing boat. They were searching for too many fish. You see. I think that through that kind of philosophy, the positive language was put into the house. I'm not sure. I'm not sure for sure with that Patterson, who I think was one of the ones that that wanted the language changed. So let's leave it at this point. But yes, Bob.
If you got just 1 minute, there is another major change that made that way to me, it hasn't been mentioned. If you may want to take a look at it,
okay.
It's a problem, a matter of the person loses his license, or his deer tag or elk tag. The way the language is now in the reengrossed version, he must then go to the nearest state police office and sign some kind of a form that they would prepare attesting to the circumstances by which his license is lost, whether it went through the washing machine or stolen or whatever. And if the state police agree that this is a sounds like a good story, they assume the countersign this form, and then the person takes it to the nearest license agency, and he pays the same fees for which he purchased the original license or tag. And I just wanted to call it to your attention because it's pretty significant. Yes, so it's a pretty significant change from the present law.
Where is that?
At the present time, they pay $1. And I might.
What text?
Take a little bit of explanation.
I'm sorry. What text do you have?
Okay, that's in.
How many other amendments did that committee make?
Just those two.
What do you think about that?
I'm ready for a motion right now, Mr. Chairman. I'll move to excuse them all on halfway from the committee amendment.
Why don't we concur in what action was taken through the fiscal office? I think the most, I'll entertain the motion at a future work session.
Mr. Chairman, I'll have to say that's got to be pretty ridiculous when a guy has to go through all the rigmarole to go down to the state police office and tell a story, and then go down and pay the same cotton picking price he paid before. He might as well go down there and buy a new license.
The reason behind it is, and if you take a little longer explanation we've got time for, is although we have no solid evidence to this effect, there's the Governor's 70 task force of 2 or 3 years ago somehow ever got the idea that we had a tremendous practice of fraudulent application for licenses. The people went in who didn't even have a license. And now you can sign an affidavit, say you lost your license, pay the dollar, and get a license. And the point was that they're trying to get on top of this problem. I think this is why this came out of the way to me.
We'll have you back at another work session. We've got to go through. Don has very ably, for the members of the committee, gone through this bill, and in his master copy pointed out every place where there's a conflict with a bill that we have to make some amendments. Chuck Wilson has some suggestions for direction, and we'll put this bill all together in a form and take the votes in action accordingly. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you wanted to point out to us, Captain Hershey?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like an opportunity to really want to pursue. We just didn't even any more than brush the surface on this search and seizure thing.
Okay.
I have sections of the law that say we shall do this. In other words, we shall stop and count Christmas trees, livestock.
Alright, we'll schedule this bill 2010 Monday for further work session. Bob and Chuck and Captain Hershey, and by that time we'll have heard from
you. Well, Chuck's really been working. He hasn't said a damn word since he's been here.
Well, that's the reason. That's why it's what I like about it. Mayor Howard, that's one thing you ought to.
dealt with quickly with House Bill 2848. Hector has some amendments for it, is that right, Senator McPherson?
I think I'll let Mr. Fallberg present the amendments. I didn't go over the bill. I will say this much for the committee, Mr. McPherson, Senator from Lane County.
Mm-hmm.
We did find some claims that we thought from Peter to the Senate Bill 100, and so we suggested some amendments, but I think that he would prefer to set the release section to supply it. So for that, so really all I'll say, and I'll let Mr. Fallberg give his version of the amendment.
Is that position holding true,
Brad? Yes, that's right. The amendment is presented here that we go along with that.
Senator McPherson moves that we delete section. Senator Alec moves that we delete from House Bill 2848, section, what are they?
21 and 23.
We better look at that to make sure.
Is that what's on this mimeograph, Chief?
That's right.
That's what's on.
I move these mimeographs.
All right. I don't seem to find them. I got a few.
It's stuck into the bill.
Okay. Senator Halleck moves the mimeograph amendment to House Bill 2848. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I move it out. Amended.
Senator Halleck moves Senate Bill, House Bill 2848 4 with the new pass.
That's right.
As amended.
Black fluid into the
House Bill. It should be in the report.
Back in the House Bill.
Yeah,
you pour it into the cup and it becomes coffee. Hold it. What do you. Oh.
In the House bills, Norm, right?
Oh,
just, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah.
For your information, Senator Halleck has moved the bill out. In the discussion, there's question of conflict between 100 and this bill.
There was.
Well, amended the bill, deleted sections, what, 2021-23.
Really?
Secretary, call the roll.
Halleck.
Aye.
Carton. Heard. Howard.
Aye.
Major.
Aye.
Atticus. Dorn.
Aye. I signed that bill to see, Tony, you were carrying it before, weren't you?
Yes, but I didn't get the opportunity to say one word. I'll be glad to carry it.
You had some discussion?
No, I mean on the floor.
Oh.
It was moved back to committee before we even discussed it.
That's right. You're ready to carry it again.
You bet.
All right. Now, I have, with committee's permission, I would have the fourth conference report, the request to concur in three bills that we passed out. Senate Bill 265 dealt with the private fish hatchery.
What did they do?
The House amended the bill and provided that the Fish Commission will not issue more than 4 permits. To construct or operate privately owned hatcheries for Chinook salmon and silver salmon. As you recall, the Senate, our committee, passed the bill out with a letter directed to the Fish Commission that they, wasn't that the way we did it?
Yeah, to limit it to 2.
To limit it to 2.
Well, that's 4,
okay. We, you know, here comes Senator Otterkirk and probably one that would be most valuable. I would, before I sign the report, I believe we would be well-founded in concurring with the House Amendment.
Well, I move we concur the House Amendment to 265, limiting the
Senator Halleck has moved that we concur in the House Amendment to Senate Bill 265, the amendments, the essence of Senator Otterkirk's information, that we put in the statute, the Fish Commission will not authorize more than 4 permits for construction and operation of privately owned hatcheries for Chinook and silver salmon. Senator Howard, yes.
Isn't this the one where we gave the doctor
That's the one.
Only one,
no? That's the one, no. We passed the bill originally, yeah.
And sent with it a letter of intent, Senator, saying to the Fish Commission that we would recommend only 2 licenses, one on the Umpqua,
all in favor of the motion to concur indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered and so done.
719?
Just a minute.
Get more confidence.
I want to take care of 2 of the conference bills quickly. Don, excuse me. You know on Senate Bill 116, I haven't had a chance to study those very thoroughly.
Are these bills being out bills?
Yes, they should be able to report it out in the Senate bill. I will ask Senator Meeker to advise me on Senate Bill 116. Did you work on that? Okay. Will you advise on that bill, you and Norm, and get it back? Let's go on then to. They have substantially altered that bill. And didn't you work on the original bill?
Better make it before signing down.
Yeah, will you do that? All right. We'll go to 719.
I move the many draft amendments on 719 dated June 11.
Behind your bill, Senate Bill 719, you'll find some many draft amendments which Senator Halleck has moved. Is there any discussion on the motion?
No. Okay, here we are.
What was that?
Senate Bill 719.
Yeah,
okay, there's some amendments right behind it in the book. Whoop, I think you went too deep.
Gee, that goes all the way.
Right behind it. Senator Halleck, there you go. There you go, okay. Okay.
Well, this is taking care of the grandma. Is this one from Missouri?
No, it says. Yes, it does. You can't order one. Well, excuse me, you're right. Yeah, you can't order. Well, yes, it does, though. We deleted received from. You can't order. If you get one from your mother-in-law or something in Kansas City, you're not close to the class team that's in there. Under the amendment. That's Ivory Point.
Everyone had a chance to look at the amendments.
I moved the adoption amendments.
Senator Halleck has moved those
to
the advised.
You can look them over Jones.
Senator Howard, do you have any questions on the amendments?
Well, does this make it so somebody over 18
can get one through the mail?
Yes, sir.
This makes them fire us without being confident.
That makes sense. Senator, do you have a question?
On this bill?
Well, I thought of putting this in the same condition and
spend more money.
And business is taking care of 6 to 8 year old, 20-year-old kids, but I guess that I would rather just outlaw the heat again.
Anytime you want to move that amendment, you've got your second vote here, and if you want to extend it to rifles, shotguns, pistols,
that's the trouble with people.
Nuts like me, right? Gun control nuts. My God, no.
I didn't want to put that
word. Can't do that. No,
sir. But if you put it that way,
terrible gun control nuts.
Will you take care of that?
I would rather just take a half a mile.
I don't think he's well enough alone to say yes.
It always takes a whole mile.
All those in favor of the amendment as presented and moved by Senator Halleck indicated by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now, the motion of the bill.
Bill before due pass to the amendment.
Senator Meeker moved Senate Bill 719 to the floor to due pass as amended. Those in further discussion? Those in favor indicate by saying aye when the name is called. Those opposed, no. And first call roll.
Howard.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
No.
Okay.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Attaker.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye. Howard can carry that bill. Try to do a little better job than that. At this time, will quickly take up SJR 44.
I move it out to you. Do that. Be a fine Senator House.
Wait a minute.
Senate Joint Resolution 44 was introduced, and I'll give full credit by this committee at the request of Senator Halleck. You and I talked about where it was going, what it was going to do, but it's here. It simply directs the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, to appoint 2 senators and 2 representatives to serve on a Western State Force Industry Task Force. And if there's any further discussion, Senator Halleck, the floor is yours. Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion.
I'm over
the
office, Chairman.
Will Senator yield to the question?
I'm sure he will.
they said the Senator Holmstrom on the impact of this bill might have a way to
do. Why do you think that Senator Holmstrom's reaction to this piece of legislation? There is no fiscal impact to this legislation. This legislation was devised by me and then in conference with Senator Smith. And I then went to President Bowe and discussed, I thought it might get you fancy, and the two presiding officers would fund this out of their own plus funds in the era. And on its passage, they'll both agree to contact their counterparts in the four other state capitals to set this machine in motion, and for the 6 or 8 meetings of the four delegates in Oregon in the interim, they'd fund them themselves out of the speakers and the president's budget.
Question's been called for. Those in favor of the motion to send Senate Bill or Senate Joint Resolution 44 out to be passed indicate aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Howard.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Meeker.
No.
Addison.
No.
Thorne.
Aye.
What are you doing?
Addison, taking
what are you doing?
I'm getting my vote
out. Addison, Meeker.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Senator. Welcome back to the Agriculture Committee. Halleck will carry his own bill. We just don't know how to conduct a lively meeting.
We have a right.
Okay, Senate Bill 766 and 2618-3120. There's a complex. Who is working on that, Tony?
Yeah. I will read up to you.
Okay, behind Senate Bill 766, you'll find a series of amendments dated June 11th, 1973. Those are the amendments, right?
Right.
Now, what's the bill for the act? You
got just a copy of the bill as it would appear with these amendments in it?
I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. Would you care to report further on the amendments?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've had an extensive committee meetings on this. In the last committee, we indicated that there were some problems with the how the banking and financial institutions would follow the filing of the liens. This is a major concern. And the amendments that were drafted speak to that point, that they will not have the difficulty that they would have in the original bill and follow the filing of the liens. And I think that for the first time, we have legislation that all concerned are supporting in providing a claim by the agriculture producer on the crop brought to a cannery and a packing.
Can I ask you a question? I don't want to hang it up, I believe in it, but is it, you wouldn't want to just take a minute and add to the definition of agricultural produce, forest products, would you? You wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
Would that wouldn't particularly be of value?
There's no problem there.
There is no problem?
Okay. You know, the problem is the guy that sells to a processor, and the processor goes broke, and then there he is. What is produce at a broke processing plant?
Yeah.
Honestly,
a load of logs can sit there for, you know, I guess theoretically the guy can go pick it up and haul them off someplace else if he had to, but a sack full of berries will last for 6 hours and that's it.
Okay,
is there. Tony, you have anything further to add?
No,
I thank the committee for their efforts.
Move the amendment.
Moved by Senator Meeker that the amendments to House Bill 7, Senate Bill 766 be adopted. Herb Hardy and the bankers and Tony and I think Tom Hartung got together and tried to address themselves that problem. All in favor of the amendments as proposed indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Move it out.
Senator Meeker moves the bill.
I wouldn't even bother to gain weight. Why, I already look like him.
Where are you supposed to be? Probably not here.
There's only one guy over there that makes any motions normally, Senator. I
keep
going. Senate Bill 766 is amended to the floor to do pass. Further discussion? Those in favor indicate saying aye. As the names are called, those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Howard.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Attaker.
Aye.
Thorne.
Aye. I'm confused. I'm sure you had that in the record. For the record,
part-time dispute. Let's see, what's 3219 all about before we get to the game tour? That's the helicopter. Okay. Now, we'll address ourselves to the game codification. House Bill 2010.
You don't want to handle the bomb?
Oh, yeah, I need to handle. Well, I don't know if we want to do that or not. I think we would entertain a motion to table those two bills.
Motion to table it.
Moved by Senator Halleck to table House Bill 2618. any discussion? There's no discussion. Those in the favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call and roll.
Halleck.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Atkins.
Aye.
Thorn.
Aye.
Where's the cash coming from?
That's the next one that we're going to table.
3140. He's got a ring vote of confidence in this committee, hasn't he?
It's moved by Senator Meeker that we table House Bill 3120.
Both came from Consumer and Business Affairs, didn't they?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, they did. Mm-hmm.
Is that supposed to ring my
time? No, they're gonna hang me by my thumb. In 1974, you said he's had a consumer vote, that's all. Apparently.
This is another
recall. I'll beat that back. You don't get more than 73 people like you did last time.
Those in favor of the motion to table on 3120 indicate ayes and those are called, those opposed no, those are called all.
Aye. Two different bills.
Howard. Meeker. Atticus.
Going. All right. Well, we've taken care of that. To rest everyone's mind, we think that by dealing with Bill 766 as we had, we've made a better bill out of the whole three. All three relate to the same thing. Senator Halleck, for your information. And so you can go to your consumers and say that we've done a better job in taking care of the problem than with the passage of those two House bills individually. One requires a bond, the other requires a cash payment. We've set up a system for a lien, which we think is much more effective and probably do a better job of taking care of your consumers. Now you can go back to them with your face shining and say we helped you out instead of hurt you.
Good.
All right.
I'd have done it anyway.
You ready on 2010, huh?
We've got some. Now wait a minute. Like that Chuck Wilson.
Wait a minute, that isn't this one on.
Maybe.
Probable cause, is it?
Yeah, that's one of them.
No, that's one of them.
That's one of them. That's several things. How do you suggest we go through this, Don? We've done most of the work.
Chuck has got a group that we've already discussed and talked about that I think maybe we ought to work.
Okay, Chuck, would you, for the information of the committee, there's several bills in our committee that conflict with House Bill 2010 in one manner or another. So we've got to go through those bills, at least the blocks of those bills, and decide whether we're going to put them in this bill or table them or send them out or whatever we're going to do. Chuck, would you just kind of lead the way? Because I think that you can point out the technicalities, we can deal with the philosophy behind these issues.
I checked
with
somebody
else after. No,
the license thing.
This isn't what I'm talking about.
Okay. He said he didn't
know
data, which
is
not part of the.
I think we had.
Or
I think Senator Atterkirk was going to move that we delete that portion from the code.
I don't know what caught him up on. He didn't say that.
Okay.
You have to vote for Senate Bill 72. Now that's the first thing.
It works.
Go on from there.
Yeah, I guess we do. Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the first of the bills that conflict with 2010, not necessarily in order of number of significant changes, is in Senate Bill 397. Which relates to discharging weapons on or across the ocean shore, and it's an amendment to ORS 166-63.
Okay. Passed? Or?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's the one you were thinking
of. It's an easy technical amendment to make.
Okay.
To 2010, if you'd like to make
okay.
That.
Okay, Halleck moves that we amend 2010 to contain the essence of engrossed and passed, whatever it is, Senate Bill 397.
Which forbids the National Guard from having their annual exercises at Camp Classic, among other things.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't.
It allows
okay.
To
it does. Okay.
For the Senator Halleck moves that motion. Is there any further discussion?
Fourth question.
Those in favor of that amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
The next of the bills is Senate Bill 675. Relating to broadening the eligibility for obtaining veteran hunting licenses.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That was the one that you carried on the floor of the Senate, Senator Halleck. You talked about the Boston Tea Party, or what were we grandfathering in some privileges?
Boston Rebellion. The guy used to live in Amity. When he died, lived to be 138. Ever since he was 55. 72 years.
And I wanted to put it out to you on the floor that you opposed the bill because it was
6.5. And he said it would save $11,000. I'll move it, whatever that does be done in 2020. Right here.
Senator Halleck moves that we amend the re-engrossed House Bill 2010 with Senate Bill, the essence of Senate Bill 675.
Good legislation. There were 12 Marines that were this country sent to put down the Manchu dynasty. They all came from New York State, but they're all going to get fishing licenses.
I trust that's part of the discussion of the motion to amend.
The guys are so old they can't hold a fishing rod.
Yeah, those in favor indicate by saying
aye.
Aye. Opposed. All right, so it is.
Other good stuff.
How are you putting this on me?
Sorry.
The next of the bills is House Bill 2322 to amend the Mill Creek Fishing.
Now that
what
bill,
did you pass that one?
No, the Mill Creek Fishing Bill is still in this committee, if I'm correct.
I move we pay
now, isn't aren't we correct in that?
House Bill 2322.
Nice try, Norma. Here it's the
Norma. Okay,
Howard
I think so. I think they did. Howard moved the table. Senator Howard moved the table, House Bill 2322. Those in favor indicate by saying aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Howard?
Aye.
Howard?
Aye.
Meeker?
Aye.
It's a bill to allow elderly people to fish amid the Rinso and Borax soap suds in Mill Creek to catch one rubber tire that wasn't capped under the new Howard bill.
Where is Mill
Creek? They can fish off that bridge all they want, cost Holloway $5 million to have the state police patrol to those users fishing for those rubber tires. If you want to do that.
No, I
don't
want to.
Okay. Or we could add Johnson Creek and all that, as Norm brought up, or else what?
Well, Johnson Creek will ever lend itself.
Right. Lots more rubber tires. Lots less soap suds than
Johnson
Creek. Okay. What other conflicts have we got to resolve?
That one, anyway.
This is only Monday.
I know why we don't meet on Friday.
What do you got, Justin?
The other two bills, Mr. Chairman, and put Chairman Ware, are Senate Bills 336 and 490, which we still have in this committee. And they relate to the exercise of eminent domain by the.
Okay, I think this is probably a little more serious. A little more serious. Let's look at our re-engrossed House Bill 2010, what pages is that?
67.
Pages 6 and 7?
On page 6.
I must admit this is a more serious kind of amendment.
It's the bottom of page 6.
Let me ask, in other words, this bill, 2010, does not provide for eminent domain. Is that correct?
Yes, sure it does, but there are some that would like some restriction on the exercise, that's all.
Senator Hurd is on both of those bills, Senator Halleck. He is asked to participate in the debate and should be here shortly.
reengross House Bill 2010, starting at section 12 is a section on eminent domain, isn't that right?
Section 15.
13. Okay, sub A?
Eight.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Well, we can in a minute, but let's make sure we understand what we're talking about. The concern in those two bills, and the reason we've held those two bills in this committee, although I believe there was ample support to get them out, one or the other, was simply that there's, as you know, concern about flagrant use, if you will, and I don't think the Game Commission has ever used it as they testified, but the use of the powers of eminent domain. Those bills, one in particular, simply states that if the Game Commission, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, if the Game Commission suggests that it wants to purchase some property, that there must be some legislative resolution or legislative approval. Is that not correct in one of the bills? That's 336. Senate Bill 490 addressed itself to the same kind of a situation, but goes in much greater detail and says that in the area where the proposed condemnation is to take place, that the President of the Senate and Speaker of the House will suggest and appoint a committee, and that committee has to be made of legislators, and they have to go in there and have a hearing. It's a very lengthy kind of an amendment to this bill. It seems to be the one that Senator Hurd is more interested in. However, I think that in the sake of,
that's the county. The problem is it's down in the Klamath Falls,
yeah,
Klamath Acres.
Right.
There's an old homestead down there, and the farmers own thousands of acres, and they're passed down from grandma, grandpa, down to the kids. And it's right in the middle of a duck. And now the Game Commission wants it. They're taking it by eminent domain of the state interest. The guy himself, who had it for 100 years, says, no way, it's mine, and I don't intend to let you have it. Well, this is where the hang-up is. Is the state going to allow the Game Commission the right to take those lands away from that guy for the state's interest, or are they going to allow the individual to keep it? Now, whether the individual is selling rights to hunt on his land, or whatever the story may be, the relationship, that's the hang-up.
Well, I will never vote for either of those bills, nor for that concept. There's no more validity in hamstringing Mr. Holloway than in hamstringing Glenn Jackson. Now, it's quite one thing to observe your theories that you and Smith expressed, which will be taken care of tomorrow in the Environment Committee, on passing land that hereafter would be acquired by MSN, hereafter, from agency to agency for the purpose of this biological study. But I see no reason, if that determination's been made, that's a bird refuge or whatever the need it is. It's no different to me than Mr. Jackson making some terrible decisions, which to run through Northwest Portland and create a ghetto and do all these things, and I mean, in many cases, I think, capriciously. We either want to give them that delegated power or we don't. And one of them is adjusting the balances of a legislative interest in the study committee, which is absurd. And the other is legislative ratification of each act, which the authors of those two bills know will keep them here for the next 6,000 years before they can move on anyway.
Well, Senator, the Game Commission, I'm correct if I'm wrong, we haven't had the work session and in the debate, John. The Game Commission for this state hasn't used their power, right?
No.
The power of eminent domain, the Game Commission has never used. from a personal standpoint, Senator Howell, and addressing myself to the discussion at hand, I personally feel, and I've seen it happen once this session, and I'll be very specific, there is on the statute the procedure by which rivers can be added to the Scenic Riverway Act. The Snake River and the Sandyham were suggested as possible rivers to be added to the Scenic Riverway Act. The House Environment Committee put the bill in, had a hearing one night, and the next day the bill was out. I got wind of the hearing one evening in time to go to it. Nobody from my area was contacted. It just happened. And yet on the statutes, or in the statutes, there's a clear procedure by which this can happen. And so I, for one, as somewhat of a safeguard, feel it, acts of that kind disagree or agree with the Scenic Riverway thing. Personally, I think it's probably the right direction to go. But the way by which it was done.
All right.
So that's the thing that's under consideration
Mr.
here.
Mr. Chairman, you have simply testified that the legislature is less trustworthy than the Game Commission.
I'm saying
because we, under Chapter 183, if I follow what the procedure would be under 2010 otherwise,
mm-hmm.
He's got 183 to attend, and in case you weren't listening, And I don't think anybody was when I carried my bill amending 183 broadly, which the Attorney General helped write. The onus on all the agencies for oral hearings and all these things is much more tightened than it ever was under 183 alone. I built before they can go into Klamath Falls or anyplace else. And if they really ascertain the attitude of the agreement.
Can you give us, I know on your committee, and I appreciate your interest in that, you've taken, you and Senator Burns, probably you initiated the act to really find out on Senate Bill 100, I think that 77, one of those, if, you know, what the appeal procedure on the 183 really consisted of. What did you bring us up to date on what's happened?
Well, under the bill that we passed, that passed the Senate, all interested parties, aside from general statewide circulation, whatever the situation is, would have to be notified. More than 10 persons, or an association representing 10 persons, request a hearing. It'll be granted. Now, if Heard argues that he has only one landowner in common, I admit he's not 10 people, but nothing precludes Mr. Holloway from having such a hearing. If this one person asks for a hearing, there'll be adequate hearing, not some sneakery in the night to respond to this. I'm not saying they won't take over the Klamath Falls thing, they haven't got the power to take it over. But he's trying, if I heard the testimony correctly, to deprive them of that power, in effect, by subjecting them to some kind of legislative review, which is rolling back the whole system of delegated government.
In credit, I don't know if you were here the day we heard those bills, but certainly the thrust was not the thrust was to try to open up more and give more citizen input. Now, it may have turned out that's the way it appears. But I just meant to say that. I can entertain Howard's question.
Let me just say one other thing. When the Forest Service was told by the Congress that they're moving in Hell's Canyon, it's moved in Hell's Canyon. Now that's considered, and that's going to be fought. It's being fought every step along the way. That's in the best interest of the United States of America, in my opinion. That's eminent domain at its absolute top. You have yet to see what will happen with the Klamath tribal land. The government can pay $60 million and has to go back to the Congress if it needs more. But by God, if the Congress doesn't want to play, I think the First National Bank trustees in the tribe have got a big newsflash coming in. It's called eminent domain. That's a personal observance. But this is an instrument that you said hasn't been misused, and he represents Klamath County. That's fine.
It hasn't been misused really on the state, okay, but there has been some of the federal issues. It's wildlife.
Well,
I remember years ago in the House when tried to override the governor's veto a bill which would prohibit the wildlife from taking over that area south of Corvallis. They were taking the Hastings neighbors of farm production land and turning into a wildlife refuge. They tried to override the governor's veto of that
thing.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we keep losing them, not necessarily to the Game Commission, but to all other types of other agencies. In other words, I don't think of any offhand reserve of any kind, a fishing club or a gun club particularly, that has in some way or other been dissolved and been absorbed by. Well, that's the clue out here. It's been sampled. That used to be a lot of private hunting reserves. So that's the one down here, the other side of Albany. Those all used to be private subjects. Now they're no longer that way. The area south of Corvallis is another tourism reserve is private. It's no longer. Those are all public. But it's all been done in the public interest. But what has happened is that then it becomes it's like a closed area. Just to get into it, it's a lot worse than it ever was before. But you get that. You don't get the bird too as much as you get the bird lover.
Well, I think this is the fourth year that we've had this Klamath Falls situation in here. It's blown completely out of proportion. And I don't blame the old fella. I was probably sitting in this position too when the Game Commission set run down the road along there. I would probably think the Game Commission was up to something real tough. 2 years ago, the Game Commission wrote a nice letter to the governor down there telling him that they weren't going to take this land by eminent domain and everything, and he read into it that they were threatening. He had a big hassle on the floor of the House because the Game Commission was threatening somebody, and when they finally gave the letter out, like, it was just a friendly letter that any of us would have written if we were in the position of the rest of the Game Commission saying that they would threaten to take these land. And, they haven't taken it. They have no plans of taking by eminent domain. If they can buy some of it sometimes, they'll buy it. But we're just on one issue. Every one of us brought every little squabble we have in our district about the game commission, the relations of it, will be here from now on. It's not helping. You're going to have problems, just like the highway commission. If we brought every condemnation procedure to the legislature trying to find that, we've got to let the boards and commissions. And then if they overstep, like Ted thinks the highway department overstep, I don't. But we don't find it out in the committee.
Is that a philosophical difference between you two?
Well, it might be. Yes.
I can't say the center is consistent.
If the game
came to the fifth committee, and that was a different story.
The game committee does something wrong, then let us as legislators wrap their hands. on the highway system, they decide they're doing something wrong. But to just have every fight we have, and this is one of them, has no merit whatsoever.
Senator, I would have got a question. I think, Senator, how did you care?
Shut up.
How can we support it and take the authority away from the fiscal issue?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I won't move to carry the bill, but in deference to Senator Hurd, but I wish we could.
Fred is going to be here in just a minute.
He said that there's a strong, I don't know whether it's a division opinion or whatever, but strong enough reason to not consider this maybe a conflict.
John, how many acres are we talking about with that joker down in Farms Falls?
700 acres
only.
John, there's three alternatives. We've got two bills that we've held in committee waiting for this bill to come over. Because this question had to be resolved. We had a hearing, I don't know, you were here or Bob was here. You know the thrust of those two bills. One is somewhat amended to make it a very general bill that the legislature shall, I guess, concede that the game commission would come to the legislature and say we want to buy X number of acres and so and ask for legislative approval. The other bill sets up a very lengthy committee and a very lengthy process. This is the way it currently is. Now, do you have specific reaction, knowing the feeling of condemnation and the attitude, you have specific reaction that would help the committee? Right now, Senator Hurd, I hope, will be here shortly. Fred, we're talking about 2010. There's three alternatives to this condemnation thing. The committee is in somewhat of disagreement. The bill on Section 13 in that area, House Bill 2010, deals with the condemnation. And then we have the two bills that were introduced here on both of them. And I've just asked John again to respond to the three alternatives.
We have the amendment to that one bill that we amended to make the breakdown of the committee itself as it set up.
I think we have
the
bill.
Bill that we went to.
I think the amendment should be included with the bill.
We've been discussing it in kind of a roundtable discussion, and to fill you in, there's considerable concern that we could just leave it the way it is. And right now, we're discussing the reason for amending the bill if there is one, and that's why I wanted to hear it.
Just visualize us as being in a blind, and you're coming in.
You've committed yourself to landing, Fred, and you're just about to catch it. John, would you?
Mr. Chairman, following the first hearing on Senate Bill 236, we followed up the major objection that that was not the matter of legislative review, but the difficulty we would have in getting all 90 members of the legislature to understand the specifics and the merits of the given We suggested that if this could be reduced to some smaller group, we could examine the facts and objectively come to the decision on the matter, that we thought this might even be helpful. Subsequently, we had a number of discussions with Senator Hurd, and I think we still have some different opinion about what would be an objective platform for evaluation of such an action. Our thought was that the Ways and Means Committee or the Emergency Board would be representatives of the legislature and would be an unbiased group of individuals that could weigh the facts and review the proposal. 490 was a subsequent bill drafted after we suggested a smaller group, and this would be the chairman of the county commission, the representative and the senator from the district commission, and two members of the House Agriculture Committee, and the Senate Agriculture Committee. We felt that
be real difficult for the local representatives and family of the county commission to be very objective about such an evaluation, because the emotions of the religious type of thing. We still feel, I mean, if we're going to have a body that wouldn't be connected to the local questions, it would be upon local representatives. And one thing that I suggest the Center of Urgent would very much like to do is change the language for which the power of eminent domain will be used. And this was discussed at some length with the Interim Committee when we were doing recodification, and they were in favor of the idea, but recognizing that this is just a sensitive area, they left the language as it was, which is for basically for public shooting guns, which is really not the purpose. We're acquiring land.
Okay.
And we'd like to see that change for fish and wildlife management purposes. And we're not resisting the matter of the legislative review of any such action.
Well, would you encourage it, John? Would you encourage I'm just thinking that Senator Otterkirk suggested that maybe legislative council could have helped us in amending the bill or use another alternative. And maybe we don't need attorneys, but let's talk about it. That the Standing Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources would be the committee that would review with the bill committed. I don't know whether that makes much sense or not.
That would be in keeping with the idea of the Standing Committee approach to the legislative continued committee review.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've told Senator Hurd, I think that there could be some benefit from that. And the main reason we never use it is because we figured the daily user would be a daily user.
Yeah.
And I think that with the legislative review position, we would not be so elected to use it. We would build our case and come to whoever the body wants. We have good faith, and the faith of the final project is right here. If we can't acquire these inholdings in the center of the project area, we have one choice. That's abandon the project, sell the land to some subdivider, and go someplace else where we have a chance to acquire unity ground. And so these are the kind of decisions we need to make. And if we're not going to have the tools to complete projects, then we have to face up to the alternatives, and then once we can, this land will drop the subject. And I think that with an objective review, it should be
helpful. I would like to. I talked with one of the things Mr. McCain's on the other day about this, with the idea that it would be a subcommittee that would more or less go to pass and so on, make recommendations to another group of the emergency board, the legislature working session, or at that point, I think the legislature, that's possibly, we could work out something with McCain and the committee, and I don't know exactly when that fits.
Well, Fred, here's the amendment that you saw to your bill and approved, and for the
other day.
This Don had worked with Fred. I'll just read it to the committee and get their reaction. And it says simply this: by request of the Wildlife Commission. Now that's what we're talking about here. A county state hearing committee shall be convened. The committee shall be composed of the chairman of the county board of commissioners of the county where the proposed condemnation would take place, comma, the state representative of the district affected or his elected or delegated representative, two members of the Senate Committee of Agriculture and Natural Resources appointed by the Senate President, and two members of the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources appointed by the Speaker of the House. No legislators so appointed by the President or the Speaker shall represent the district where the proposed condemnation would take place. The state senator representing the district or his delegated representative shall be chairman of the committee. Now that is the essence of Senator Hurd's suggestion as to what kind of a committee should advise the Game Commission in with that.
Well, that determines, in addition to that, they would write the recommendation to the emergency board if they, the legislature wasn't there.
Yes. But that would be the committee that would hear the thing. Now, that's one alternative. Senator Howard?
Next thing that they'll want to do is to put the same thing on the Highway Commission, and they'll have a certain group of the legislature meeting 12 months out of the year. And we've got one, the Highway Commission condemns all over this great city to put a plan, whether it be the road, you better put a street. And James Reagan has one spot in Oregon that's involved with, and I know that somebody came over and testified that they got land up in Eastern Oregon that they're. Jones said that the game commission might take over sometime by end of the line, but there is no indication of it that they have any extension to the list. I could never support this. There is one group that said the next rule will be to have it supervise the highway department and all other departments that might have ever delayed.
Okay, then here's the other alternative. In lieu of what I suggested, this is Senate Bill 336. It says, however, before the commission acquires title to real property by the exercise of eminent domain, the legislative assembly must first grant approval, therefore, by joint resolution, and I thought maybe we should add to it, such approval should be in accordance with Chapter 183, too. Now, that's a hearing procedure. Now, there's the alternative, and if someone wants to debate it further, I'm going to simply ask in a show of committee approval, one way or the other, do we want to expand beyond the existing language in the bill, or do we want to keep it as it is? And then I think if we answer that question, we decide which way we're going. Is that agreeable with everyone? And I don't know how to do it unless someone has to.
Well, you asked for a response.
I'm going to ask for a response.
No, it's not agreeable.
With you?
With me. So I speak for the 2010 language and eminent domain I want.
Senator Meeker, do you have a reaction? I don't know how else to deal with it.
What was the language that you suggested to me?
Well, Senator Hurd's language, maybe you would just like to read it. Maybe that would be most expeditious. Sam, do you have a suggestion for us? There was some...
I would suggest that leave the language alone, only then if you have some concerns, and I think some of us do, about public input or review, and I know the James has no objection from that. Specify the standing committee, which will be made up of House members and Senate members, as a review committee in the case of eminent domain. In relation to the Fish and Game Commission, let it go with that. Why make a big issue? There's no need to have
would it not
court or anybody else involved in the country.
Would it not serve the same function, Senator Halleck, and maybe you can respond to this, and maybe it's implied, before you exercise the power of eminent domain, do you have to comply with the procedures of the of Chapter 183, the hearing and procedures? Let me say the procedures.
Every decision the commission makes will be subject to the
procedures of 183. You see, Mr. Chairman, to finish it off,
okay.
Sam's suggestion is unacceptable. What Norm is talking about is we are about to transgress the traditional tripartite separation of powers. I will not step across the line. Walter Pearson started it in 1963 by asking that all rules of boards and commissions be subject to legislative ratification. Fadley and I fought him off. He did it in 1965. Some of them are as untenable and rotten to me as they are to you. I've done my best this time to strengthen 183, but I would not cross that bridge. If you want to openly take away the power of eminent domain, let's have a bill in. We'll put our voters, do it in this committee, take it to the floor. But you cannot simply tamper with it. You cannot give it and then take it back. We cannot have it both ways. Fine. The thrust of the discussion on the floor the other day, and your fears and this other bill, you and Smith didn't go that far. If that's the feeling of 15 senators, so be it.
Well, that's certainly
not much.
That gives you an idea how it's used by agencies, and it may not be at the court at the time, but it certainly encompasses my concern. The legislature very specifically prohibits the power of eminent domain for the Willamette River Greenway project. So what did the Willamette River Greenway project do but ask the Highway Commission to use their power of eminent domain to buy state parks and then transfer resources? So you can see what an executive branch can do in subverting the legislative branch. It happens both places. I don't think they ought to have the power. They can't. Can't you buy the land in a negotiated agreement? Then we shouldn't change the land used as it now is.
Okay. Senator Hurd,
I think it's some kind of a redo or whatever you want to call it, and I'm none of this language is censored. I think it's going to be from the auditor,
but I think the very sample section is the one doing most things, especially hearing on that. We've had many people in the field from a particular subject that generally really have come out of their breath and pulse. And I just think that we should be concerned enough that we offer some protection for the people that might be affected.
And Senator Halleck has said, through the revised wording of the Administrative Appeals Act, I guess,
Procedures
Act, as it's called, that there is expanded procedures for hearing. And,
would you like a motion? Maybe that'll get things rolling.
I was about to ask Senator Hurd if he wanted to move his amendments and see where the chips lie around the table, and or if you had an alternative suggestion. I think it's obvious that we're pushing uphill. But I would entertain any motion if anyone wanted to say make at this moment.
Senator, I move to delete lines 1, 2, and 3 and page 7. Language, no, pardon me, I'm going to change the motion. On line 1, page 7, we strike the words exercise of eminent domain.
Let's see, line 1, page 7.
Yeah, the printed bill. Strike exercise of eminent domain.
You've heard the motion. The essence of the motion is takes away the powers of eminent domain that that rest currently in the hands of the Game Commission. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Section 13 talks about the commission, and so that's what Senator Howard.
The I've said over and over again that through the history of the system game commission, the game commission, that they've never used eminent domain. And now, if the Parks Department, and that could be over the Transportation Department, if they did rot around the violin by eminent domain, they are the ones that should have their hands cut, not the game commission. We're going completely wrong. Go to the highway department and give the Parks Department hell if you want it. But that's like your boy doing something out, and somebody comes along and says, well, let's tell this 26 guy over here. The Game Commission in their history have never done it. And we're talking about one damn 728.
Three or four.
Down in that we've had trouble for the last 4 years. The most petty thing as far as passing a bill is concerned. This guy has never taken any land from it. And if you want to cause trouble, you just got the Portland. Out on 82nd and Division, as a real estate man, hire a bunch of surveyors. If they don't get these surveyors, just have them go out and pound six of the ground and see how many houses come up for sale in the next week. All the rumors about the highway department's going to put interstate, or we're going to be, and people are pulling the real estate people, putting their houses up for sale because somebody comes in. This is exactly what happens with this man in Clamath Falls. A Game Commission man drives down his road and he's got the Game Commission on the side, and he can just see the Game Commission for close.
Senator Hurd,
I don't think that
it takes it out right now. Further discussion on the motion.
Just one question. Ben, how did you acquire
your Bobby Bannon, does he have something like this? Well, this is still going on. It's a process of negotiating with individual owners since 1948 when they started that project. The same thing with Clamath.
How big an area is it?
We have the situation that we never have enough money in our budget to be able to complete all the acquisitions, so we haven't had to press anyone. Each year we find enough willing sellers to use what money we have. Now we're getting close to completion of some projects, and this is when eminent domain becomes important to us, when it's a last block of ground to complete the unit so we can proceed with development and use of the earth. I think that it's very extremely important to us. It's more important to us now than it was 40 years ago, because we are at this point that we need to complete some of these projects.
Question?
I'm calling
one question.
Yes. John,
say you've never used eminent domain. Haven't the buyers always mentioned to you sellers that you have the power of eminent domain?
I'm sorry, you asked the question, you tell them that you don't use them. Correct? Club? And you have to admit to these things. When we go to the County Planning Commission, we get approval for a project, the implication of that is that eventually we're going to complete by one method or the other. Otherwise, we never start the project. So there's no point in wasting our money if we're not going to complete it.
Okay.
If Senator Baker and Senator Hurd will come over and make a motion in my committee to take away eminent domain from the Highway Department, and then go home and face the music, then I'll vote, take away the eminent power.
I have a vote here tonight.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still not making my point. I am not going to vote for this motion. I'm for legislative review.
Okay, let's get it over with then.
All right, the motion is to take away the power of eminent domain from the Game Commission. Those in favor of that motion, by deleting the proper language in House Bill 2010, so indicate by saying aye as a name to call. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call a roll.
Howard?
No.
Howard? Howard?
No. No. Howard, no.
Halleck's a no.
There we go.
There we got it.
Okay. Hard time.
What happened to her, you man? Didn't you follow Halleck?
Hurd?
No.
Howard?
No.
Meeker?
Aye.
Addison?
Aye.
Thorn?
Aye. Now, the motion carried. Now we can get down to business.
Failed.
I mean, it failed. I'm sorry. Okay. Is there a motion? We have to leave at 4:30 so that...
Democrats are meeting, right,
yeah,
on taking away public domain, eminent domain.
Nobody. I would entertain further motion.
I would move that we construct our administrative system together with legislative council and draw up some appropriate language which would require legislative approval in the event of eminent domain for the game.
I'll entertain the motion. I'll entertain the motion now. Senate House Bill 336. Senate Bill 336. May specifically address itself to what you're saying. Look at the black language, however, before the commission acquires title.
Now, do I understand the motion is to move that bill out by...
No, it's not to move that bill out. It's to have an appropriate...
The motion is to probably insert lines 10, 11, and 12 of Senate Bill 336 in its appropriate place in Ren Gross House Bill 2010, probably starting after line 3 on page 7.
All right, two things.
That motion I will entertain, and now it's your fourth discussion.
Number one, when 2010 fails on the floor because of this motion, which will pass this committee, I would hope the chair is ready to pick it up very quickly, because it's a very important piece of legislation,
true,
and get that bill back for, you know. Number two, if I should be wrong, and it picks up the 16 votes, then I think we've done a very provincial thing that, to be equitable, it should be embraced, you know, extended to the, you should come back in committee and find a vehicle here or elsewhere, sent to the highway department, sent to state foresters, you know, subject to his eminent domain when he's trying to block up with the BLM or the Forest Service, subject Glenn Jackson, because I think just on the face of it, to impose legislative review on one agency is just, in fact, I'm not for it, it's inequitable.
Mr. Chairman, I think they just
want this to be. All right, if that's genuinely the majority sentiment, This is a session, then,
and
that's...
find out. This is not a plan. It's a game plan.
No, I understand. I don't... But you have... But that's the problem that brought this up. That's what brought this up.
I would entertain the motion on the basis that the game commission themselves have asked for some assistance. Am I not correct in this matter, John? Or am I... Did I understand you right? That you do encourage some legislative involvement in your purchases?
We're very dedicated to getting 2010 passed, and we're willing to make a lot of compromises.
Now you're throwing me a curve.
Question
has been called. Well, Chuck, yes.
Before you do that, I'm just going to ask a question.
Yes.
You'll note that this question in front of 236 now presently would require
The question has been called for. The motion is that we insert language starting on page 10 and including on page 12 with the addition that we amend the motion to include the emergency board of Senate Bill 336. Do you need a copy of it?
Well, was this the interim committee?
2010.
Oh, this is the full assembly? He's going to put this language in there.
We're going to
put the full assembly.
Yeah.
The full assembly, and then it's a legislative confession, and it goes to the
Now,
Bob, you
have
a rather important, Chairman. On the bottom of page 6, subparagraph 7, we feel that that would be a much better section to add in the word to the power of the name, then put your business about legislative review, and then eliminate section 8. If you're considering broadening the authority to do wildlife oriented recreation or wildlife non-tourism, we suggest it.
What you're saying, Bob, is that you don't want legislative, or didn't necessarily imply legislative review as to...
I like Holloway's idea. It gives him back the power of eminent domain except on Tuesdays.
No, that's
exactly right.
Yeah. I'm out of order.
Hang in there. You're never out of order.
Contrary to what some of my colleagues may think, why I would appreciate your comments.
Subparagraph 7 says that you may not apply by purchase, lease, agreement, or gift, real property, so on and so forth, for wildlife management and wildlife oriented recreation purposes. Okay. And then paragraph 8 defines. Does the same thing except for that exercise eminent domain. We can only use this exercise eminent domain for public hunting areas. Now, what I was going to suggest that you consider is that we amend, delete 8 and amend subsection 7 to say that apply the purchase, lease agreement, exercise eminent domain, or gift real property and all appropriate standards therein for wildlife management and wildlife recreation. And then you would have your paragraph on legislative review.
Good idea.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker?
I think that rather than do that, I support the bill.
Well,
now, we have a motion on the floor to amend so that we can keep me at least straight. I'd entertain a vote on that motion to amend, and basically that motion was to amend the bill by inserting after the language on the top of page 7, line 3, the appropriate language taken from Senate Bill 336. Those in favor of that amendment indicate by saying aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll on that amendment.
Halleck?
Nope.
Heard?
Aye.
Halleck?
No.
Meeker?
Aye.
Atticus?
No.
Thorn?
No. Motion failed.
Well, is it time to move the bill out then?
Do you want to try anything else, Fred? It's obvious to me that the votes aren't here to accomplish what you want to accomplish either way, and unless you want to meet with the assistant, we're going to go through the bill and some other things so we can get out and maybe some language to be acceptable when another member's here.
Mr. Chairman, if it was a game commission, that we're talking about now, And I can just see my friend Ted Hallett doing exactly the same thing the highway department, the forestry department, and
well, Senator, I must admit, you're in top form today, and I think it must be the highway department got you charged up somehow or another. You're doing excellent.
His reasons are different than mine. See? We admit that.
We fight what you have, but we stick together every time.
Okay. The next item of business, Chuck, where are we?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the bill that I have thought I conflicted with this one was House Bill 2318, which is the recreational guide.
Okay.
Licensing bill. And upon reexamination of that, I think it is not conflict, and we need to make no adjustments.
Now, okay, I'll entertain a motion. Where's that section on charter boat licensing?
Page 30.
Mr. Chairman? Senator Meeker, yes.
The Ways and Means Committee amended this bill in two places or just one place?
To my knowledge, Jeff, you know otherwise, but I think it had to do with sequence.
Yeah,
well,
the charter boat was chairman, the charter boat amendments, and then there was something about
obtaining duplicate license.
Yeah, that's another bad one.
Mr. Chairman, I move we delete the Ways and Means Committee amendments.
Okay, let's identify those first of all, so that I know.
Charter boat and the duplicate licenses.
Okay. Does that deal with the duplicate license?
No. Section 47.
Okay, let's go back to section 47.
That's the deal where if you lose your license, you have to go down to state police, sign an affidavit that you lost it, and then you'll pay the same price you paid for it when you bought it.
Your motion deletes this new 47.
Major moves that we delete section 47 of the bill.
And then the other part of his motion that we delete that part of 54 that
the other
has
part
to do
is section 54 starting with line 4 and running through line 9 inclusive.
Page 30. Well, you just don't want them to pay a fee?
They already pay a fee.
Yeah.
Senator Hurd. We heard in debate on the bill, and I would someone correct me if I'm wrong, stand to you that weren't they paying an increased fee in some area?
Did Ways and Means consider that, Brad?
That
I don't recall.
Thank you,
my God. There was something too on the difficult license.
Whatever the appropriate symbol is.
Senator Meeker.
The point of clarification is my amendment is not to delete the section, but to recede from the amendments made by the Ways and Means Committee, because we do have to have section 47 that allows
you somehow with the
and let me read you those bills.
Okay.
His license is tagged as $100. If you lose your license, you pay $1 to get a difference.
You want to restore this old license? Why don't you say that? Restore old and gross 47 for 47 and new and gross.
I think in effect to do that by receiving from the Ways and Means Committee anyway.
The motion has been corrected. To restore the original language, Fred, are you leaving? The motion is to restore the original language in House Bill 2010 in Section 47 relating to if licenses are stolen or lost, and to restore the original language in Section 54, which relates to charter boat operator license and non-resident charter boat operator license. Question has been called for. Those in favor of that motion, so say by indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, that would also have to include that section 58.
Okay.
I
have to delete section sub 2 and section 58.
That should be added to the Meeker motion.
That's added to the Meeker motion. I had it marked in our work bill and we don't have it here.
No objection.
Is there objection to including that additional amendment to the Meeker motion that passed?
No.
Objection? Having heard none, so ordered.
Okay. I move it out now.
No, we aren't quite ready.
Not ready to move it out yet.
There was one other change late in the made, and I don't know whether his motion included that or not. They took and rolled House Bill 2862, the Bearcat Bill, into
We have it in here.
Okay, so that's good. We got that bill because I had to carry that before, and that's one of the better pieces of legislation.
You did such a fight. You know, you ought to take a clue from that. The way to get a bill to pass, and you might do it on the BB gun. Just get up and
speak against it.
Say it's no good, and you'll probably get it to trust.
Vern Cook and I are good at that. We specialize in that.
Where are we now, Chuck?
That's part of the amendment.
Okay. Got it done, Chuck?
Now, what section is that on?
Move her out, then.
Now, page 14. We
page
have one
14.
Other little tear jerk.
Look at page 14.
Senator Hurd.
Page 14. Uh-oh, probable cause. Yeah, that's fine. Let's move her out. Move right out.
Now, Senator Halleck, section 26 is an itinerary to the state police.
Yeah, that's life.
And Sheriff would ask that Senator Halleck at least give him a chance to explain the problem.
We all know it, what the problem is.
The situation is this. In Gross House Bill 2010 says any person mentioned who has probable cause, that's an officer who has probable cause to believe that a violation of wildlife laws or rules promulgated pursuant there to has been committed makes it. Existing language before the bill was amended said that the officers may search, period. Alright, I've asked Chuck Wilson to respond to that question as legal counsel for this committee. Chuck, do you have some things to contribute to the committee that just may offer direction?
The requirement that an officer have probable cause is judicial gloss on the statute, whether it's specifically mentioned there or not. And it seems to me to be more in the nature of a policy decision, whether you want that language to specifically appear or not. And I wouldn't, hoping you would not take on my remarks as making a recommendation one way or the other as far as policy is concerned.
The committee has to make a decision, and I want Captain Hershey to respond in a moment, too.
I move that we delete on page 14, line 20, the word who, all of line 21, and on line 22, promulgated pursuant thereto has been committed.
Okay. In essence, what you're moving, Senator Meeker, is to say that we restore the old language.
Except for the word any person on line 20.
Okay. I'll entertain that motion. However, I want to hear from Captain Hershey, at least that's the decision we're going to make, and we can either settle it one way or the other by entertaining that motion.
Well, of course, you've got your response in front of you. A memorandum from Lieutenant Karen Boone to Captain Hershey.
Right.
States that case.
Would you care to respond to that, Captain Hershey, the memorandum that we have? Is there some specific things that maybe we don't run off too far, Chuck?
Chairman? I'm Walt Hershey, Captain of the Game Division. I want to make that point first. Our real concern is we question that the resources to stand this type of relaxation is suggested in the new language. Because we deal exclusively with numbers, species, sex. And you have, for example, an early dove season, and you'd be amazed what you see in some of those cooler boxes. Here, the season is only open to doves. You'll find immature quail, immature shepherds, hen pheasants, the whole ring. An example of a recent case and another thing that's going on, you'd be amazed the amount of money that's involved in it. Just less than 2 weeks ago, we made this case.
fellow from California came up and ran through the Summer Lake Refuge. And this is all, I want to explain the thinking that they'll put in here. He got affidavits from the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. One affidavit from them, another from the Balboa Zoo, which he would use, frankly, for them, he could get a permit to take certain species in Alaska. Okay, he didn't want to go to the expense of going to Alaska. They came up and did his collecting in Summer Lake Refuge. And a day and a half, and now this, he would never be subjected to an examination by us, or use his head at all. So he'd go right out in the nesting area, on the guy's photograph, and he's next. He's a fine creature. But he's moonlighting, selling game birds and animals, and eggs, collections, and this kind of thing. All right.
Did you bust him? Put him away?
Right. But with this, we wouldn't.
So why do you let these? My mind was all made up. And you let him come testify as my favorite law enforcement officer, and I'm undone. I'm sorry, Jerry, I'm off the train, and I'll work for the museum, and you can continue if you want him to, but now you've got it. I'm a kid, folks. And he's unlocked me.
I'd like to know if I call ahead.
Don't, you're just making me feel worse.
Tell me,
Captain. You've already got my vote.
Okay, you had a young
sold out
Canada goose.
I hope.
You had 80 waterfowl.
Jerry?
Two sandhill crane legs that are on the air, and
uh-huh.
He had a muskrat taken out of season. He had 14 band-tailed pigeons. Incidentally, they're selling for $150 a pair.
And you couldn't,
sure I'm missing
and you couldn't have known that, so you couldn't have gone
no.
in, or you couldn't have had an improbable cause.
He had no. He had a big black box he carried around with him, Eastman Kodak on it, you know, and he'd hunker down in the grass. He'd have to be standing with us all to apprehend him. This thing is an automatic. Battery operated
instantly.
So
you're
taking these eggs right off of the.
Jarvis should be ashamed of yourself.
We
need to get a new guy, you know.
And then he slipped into his motel where he had large incubators that he put in and never exposing himself to the sight of anybody during this whole operation. So he come out of the black box into the incubator and, well, I'm taking a lot of your time because it would have been interesting to play the field.
He was fine, just stuck away.
Well, he's up to. Paid $450 so far, and they have an easy payment plan with a total of five charges as well.
Okay, let's make the motion.
I've already made it.
Okay, let's vote on it.
This is still the Senator Howard, yeah.
And the old worst poacher in the world when I was a kid. This would be the ideal situation for the shoot a pheasant, put it in the refrigerator. Well, she's another one, put it in the refrigerator. And this is what I'm especially now with the meat shortage, right?
So we got this road.
There, the highway goes by the Valley of the Road Park. Right on 101, there's an area of a game refuge in there. They're just having one hell of a time to keep the band of deers in there alive at this time of year because they're just picking them off like they were doing it. And this would. All you take it, do it at home, put it in your refrigerator, and say, I'm sorry, bud, what are you going to do about it?
What's going on?
Chairman, just one final thing. Even if I've got on my hunting jacket, it's got a bag in the back. It's not looking near.
No, you can't take that.
But let me just say this. Yesterday, represented 27 years that I've been in this business. And I've got my first time to go rummaging around, and this can all be done diplomatically. But one other point, Mr. Chairman, and I think this may be the area where some of this is risen from. You asked, I spoke a little bit with Mr. Turner the other day. You made two good points. I talked to him afterwards. Our people, our game officers are running into marijuana. So we have many, many groups that are camped under dry bridges. One group out here had parked for 4 or 5 years. One crew in the river, that was a refrigerator, and some more wrapped in tarps. But again, incidentally, we couldn't have unwrapped the tarp under this.
Well,
and in the course of that, we're finding marijuana.
Admissible, Captain, under the Supreme Court ruling of last week. You can't play with
that.
The car that was taken in and under impounding, and they found heroin in their trunk, and the court's totally inadmissible.
Yeah.
No, you weren't fishing for that. That wasn't the purpose in funding.
Yeah, right.
Quit when you're ahead. I mean, you're ahead. Question, who stuck in before we voted? Who stuck the lines in Ways and Means or House Ag? Who's the chairman? I hope he can be told. If there's any hang up, we wouldn't want to jaundice an important bill on concurrence.
The only hang up we have so far.
I mean, I hope they have a hang up.
I think that is correctly resolved.
I would like to remind Senator Meeker that now that we've passed the open bottle bill and you go hunting someplace and you have an open bottle in your pack and you're coming back and they search you and find that, you'll get a rat for that too.
Busted, go bust in 5 minutes.
You'll have done it.
It will work for you.
I'll tell you what, Mr. Jones.
Isn't that
I
right?
I think it's so important.
You're going to stop drinking, right? Is that important?
No, whatever you think.
All right, okay, got it.
Am I not correct in that bill, Captain, while you're here? Let's assume that you're coming back from hunting deer and you've got an open bottle.
He can't touch you.
He's searching for game.
He's looking for game under this bill. He can't touch you for marijuana there.
What if he discovers the open bottle?
Well, if
what,
he tries to bust me on that, he and I, for the first time in our relationship, have a problem.
No.
Like in court.
He's looking for the open body. He's looking for the deer.
Now, fellow is intoxicated and the search is conducted for that purpose. We're back in the ballpark.
Don't look at me. I don't drink. Look at some other direction.
Officer in there? No, it's just a person.
It's
the same thing.
What do you want to do? What do you want?
Any person, sir, was in the original version of the bill.
That's
any person.
What
original language?
Dan, what do you want?
What can you do now? I'm resisting tax.
The chairman rules that we'll discuss the thing further.
What can you do now?
Okay, as we interpret
this, tell me what you can do. I'll use an example of the two laws in here alone, so still under the venue, under the Fifth Amendment. If you have to fish taken commercially, covered with a gun sack in your debt, we can examine under section law of fairly that we can do this. This would prohibit us from examining those same fish that they were taken on hook and line. Because they're game fish now. Mm-hmm. We could lift the gunny sacks up and look at them and see if they're under the eye, or whatever.
That's why we've got to pass my amendment.
We have to pass my amendment or he's going to be struck. But I thought you all wanted that.
We do, but I'm telling you how far he's going to go.
Get elected, Don. You folks.
Yeah.
How far he's going to go, he's asking for nothing more than the power he's got today. The Bolshevik language would have rolled him back. He clouded the issue. Certain other parties helped him with his marijuana and open bottles, which is totally irrelevant. If you want him to have...
No, I can't see a word, but in other words, my argument would be said if I was the game officer, and I saw a broken bottle on the thing, I could give you a citation for that.
I'll ask counsel one question. Can he?
I think that's plain view doctrine.
Not the marijuana part, or the marijuana too?
Yes, plain view. I think my understanding of the law is the plain view doctrine, as bad as it is indicates that if you look through the window and see the gun or the open bottle or what the obviously the evidence of the crime and the fear of the crime, you can
One other question, if I can interrupt, Sam. Okay, he's asking for today's power. Today's power gives him plain view to bust the open bottle and the joint. Okay? What if other language to try to modify this was stuck in there then? First of all, it didn't read any person, it read officer again, which is what you're after. And is there some words you could devise? But to exclude, you know, he's confining himself to his game deal, words to that effect? Could you do that? Chuck, come on, just yes or no.
Well, I presume I could do it.
All right, I move that...
I withdraw my motion.
I move Section 26 be amended so that the officers is reinstated and any persons is deleted. So that who has probable cause to believe that a violation of the wildlife laws or rules promulgated pursuant thereto has been committed be deleted in lines 20 to 22.
Okay.
And that new wording be devised to be inserted at whatever appropriate place it should fall in Section 26 to limit the officer to discharging his law enforcement responsibilities concerned with wildlife game and gut the job.
If you notice, it does say for wildlife.
But you said you construed his power today as embracing busting people for the bottle in the joint. All right, I wanted language devised which would preclude that. Was an act only in the purview of his wildlife.
Let's get straight.
You heard my motion.
I will. Can you repeat it? I was trying to listen about this.
All right. To reinstate the words "the officers" and yes. Delete the word "any person."
I got the.
To
you're
delete
one.
The bold-faced language yes. On 2021 and 22, and to insert a proper caveat wherever it would logically fall in 26. It limits the officers' law enforcement powers to dealing with the game, fish, wildlife, call it what you will, that he is inspecting with all these things for. Otherwise, we're giving this officer, under the guise of enforcing the fish and game laws, an open sesame and flying in the face of what the Supreme Court has held variously are the rights, the untrammeled rights, the with or without warrants, and all those other issues, which wasn't your intent. It's to go after the Creole and the boat and the this and the that.
Well, listen, sir. What happens if I'm out hunting and I report to the officer that somebody stole my razor? The officer sees the guy driving down there and he sees he can't look at that radio because he's eliminated. All he can look for is...
That's not so. He has... I was going to recite 15 other bills we passed that gives the state police of the state even power to stop an automobile for the probable cause of a structural defect, or whatever the words were in 1971. God, you're into an actual crime, a larceny charge. Is that right, Captain?
Yes.
Totally separate parts of the statute, and he stops the thing and looks for the stolen goods.
What's
the
warrant?
Wait, pardon?
He's a good marijuana.
If he's after marijuana... If whatever, I don't want to play lawyer here, but if he's after marijuana, if he's after the driver stopped in a DUIL or an ostensible DUIL on the ball dock, and in the course of whatever it is you do, there's an open bottle in the front seat, which is germane to what you stopped him for, you're administering the breathometer or something else. I don't know what your marijuana reason would be for search, but we're mixing apples and oranges here terribly.
The question clearly has got to be resolved, as we're trying to do, whether we're going to, by amending this particular section, or whatever fact we do, whether we want the officers to be able to search for game, or whether it opens the door to every other kind of a thing out of the world.
Right.
That's the thing we're
you
trying to do.
You apparently don't want us to open it up.
Well, I don't think they do.
And I don't think they
right?
do. Right.
All right, then.
So my emotions
are life of me, Mr. Chairman. See how you can take an officer, police officer, give him charge of the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
A state police officer. Inspection would only have one eye.
Mm-hmm. I don't know either.
Well,
sure.
Mr. Chairman, to clarify this, if I may, we had testimony in our last hearing that under today's law, under interpretation that has been, under interpretation of that law ruled by the court, in order to effectively carry out the intent of the regulation of a natural resource, that a game officer does have the power to search beyond other crimes. The courts have given him that power, and he has it today. The reason that I introduced my amendment at the outset was to return the law to the same thing that the Game Commission team officers have today. Clearly, because it is difficult to, let's say I'm out hunting, I have my hunting jacket on, I've got two limits.
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to know that?
Without certainty.
And if he doesn't have any reason to believe it, I can go and have my case thrown out because there was no probable cause. I didn't even look like I was carrying too much weight.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Right.
So he has to have that power to manage the resource. Now, we're not saying that it doesn't apply to anything else.
Uh-huh.
And I think the courts have gone on and said that it doesn't apply to anything else. Unfortunately, the committee got tied up with alcohol and marijuana, and I think we've gone too far in that instance, and we're only talking about the game. I would hope that
therefore my motion was made to relieve mines and
right.
statutorily preclude them
right.
as this court has precluded them in various holdings, depending on which one you read lately, as Jeff has said.
Am I reading this one?
Senator Hurd,
it might be a good idea for someone to pass over the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution and searches for seizures and warrants. Rights for people to be secured in their persons, houses, and papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrant is the warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation that will decide in the place to be searched for the persons or things to be seized.
Captain Hurd,
another question. I haven't told this yet, but if an officer, for instance, you know, a general officer, give the man a specific citation
then that's the only thing that he can decide on. In other words, if he gives his right to citation on, say, illegal possession of game, would he not have to then write a separate citation for an open bottle or the possession or anything like that? They cannot both be. So he's acting then in his capacity as a state police officer in addition to his obligation to the game enforcement officer. But they can't both be written on the same thing. They've been telling me, like, they'll throw it out of court, right? You could just write the game officer to cite the guy for three or four things, even though they're game cited. He's coming or something like that to just fix them up, and then he has a little legal side case and all this. Each one of them has to be separate. That was my answer. Otherwise, the judge throws it out. Because if you can't prove one, you can't prove any.
Well, continue with this.
Yeah, so,
by policy, we refer to it in our profession as double bill. We don't do it just rarely. We did. I'm in the seat all this paraphernalia that I mentioned down in Lakeview. He wasn't sure what all these answers. Couldn't identify some of the agents. Knew they were all wild. Because he seized all this, had to take the incubators and everything else. But then, I recommended him on the phone to file on each individual seat. And this, of course, then it's up to the judge to. But we were in sort of a spot that this is the key to type of thing, and that's key to all this stuff of evidence.
Well,
by policy, normally, we don't cite, in other words, you have a hand present in the bottle in the car, we wouldn't be citing you for both of them. I personally don't know.
How'd you find out? Happened
on? The traffic officer just accidentally stopped me from some little run there on the highway and heard this bird keeping in there. On the radio, called the game.
Right. Now, if
you'd
have had a probable cause saying that this is, that wouldn't have, you know, you'd have been in real trouble.
That's right. All he'd have to say is, yeah, I have a domestic bird or two in there, and I'm in a hurry, you're detaining me, but I gotta get on now.
Because he's stopping for a traffic violation.
Right.
And he couldn't use,
but assuming that the fellow would have said, yes, I have a bird down there, but it's a domestic death.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't violated the game law. So his testimony would need to be overrided. We couldn't identify that bird chirping when it was a domestic or wild bird.
We're both talking the same language, Norm.
Are you? What he does is what you want.
Right.
Senator Attica, do you have further questions? You get cut off.
Mr. Chairman, if I could read, Norm. Senator Howard.
I'm aware of that, but we better get this thing resolved.
We have withdrawn, I've withdrawn my motion, and we now have Senator Howard's motion before us, which is the same as thrust, but it says only game laws, has nothing to do with the other.
That won't work.
Look at
this. The officers have got to be both game officers and state police. There's no way of doing it. Make them pull a blind over.
Let's vote on Senator Richardson. Don't do it, Susan.
Bob, you moved over there when Halleck made that motion. You were waving your hands.
No, I was just saying that suggesting that you go back to the word officer, which is involved in an amendment to another section, and went back to that terminology. It was changed.
Yeah.
Person, so that would have to say that.
Any person mentioned in ORS 496-645, which qualifies as a type of officer, right?
Yeah.
No,
I'm not ready to count you.
Well, then, if you want to, let's slow it down. We can make the original motion that I made.
That'd be more inspiring.
Vote on Hennessy.
Well, of course, have we agreed upon the fact that Halleck's motion isn't going to pass? And if we're going to do that, then why? He isn't here to withdraw his motion. Nika calls for the question. Those in favor of Halleck's motion, you've all heard it read, indicate ayes and nays will call. Those opposed, no. We'll certainly call a roll on that motion. Good man.
Halleck?
He's excused.
Heard?
No.
Howard?
Yes.
Nika?
Yes.
Attica?
No.
Stein?
No.
Mr. Chairman, I reinstate the motion that I just gave earlier. So the language reads on line 20. Any person that says in the amendment, then the word after 0.645, who is struck, all of line 21 is struck, and the new language in line 22 is in.
I'll read it.
The motion will read then. Any person mentioning ORS 496.645 may search any person in examining boat, automobile, aircraft, and things, etc.
Continue reading that. Read clear to the line.
Game bag,
game code or other receptacle for wildlife, or cold storage in
warehouses, taverns, boarding houses, restaurants, club rooms, outhouses, that's in the statute, the depots, hotels, and all other places except private dwelling homes, wherein wildlife may be kept or sold, and examine all packages, boxes held either for storage or shipment, which may have reason to believe contain evidence of violation of wildlife laws.
So, Mr. Chairman, so what we're doing, in effect, is the only thing we're doing to the current law is changing the word officers to any person
that qualify under that section.
Yes, right. To qualify. Who are those officers in 196645?
Section
19.
Section 19 in our engrossed bill tells us what we're talking about. That's simply a qualification of officers, is it not? Who are they?
The Game Commission. Wildlife Office.
If I know you, I'd stay on that one. That's the Game Commission here. Some of Mr. McKeon's people are the whole commission from our superintendent that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Commission by other time.
Mm-hmm. Josh, do you have a question?
What in effect is probable cause right down at the end of that subsection, because it says which they have reason to believe containing evidence of violation of the wildlife laws. That's a qualification on all that description that you said before. Lastly, that's just what this new goal plan is saying in a different form.
And question on Senator Winters.
To understand what you're saying, if the existing language really is probable cause.
But that's exactly what he does now. When you stop a guy for, say I'm out hunting, and I got a pickup and I'm driving along, and well, hell, I'm standing on a bank ticket. The officer comes up, says, may I see your license, and so on, and then he says, he measures the size of your fish and everything else. He does that now.
Yeah, we do it now, but this is the Taylor's been doing that. Well, he wouldn't have to open it freely unless we have probable cause.
Well, we're saying under the adoption of
we'll give you that authority.
Well, section 2, of course, question has been called for, and section 2 says any hindrance or interference is prima facie evidence. So I guess the thing can go on like a book. Question's been called for. Those in favor of the amendment reinstating the old language so indicate by saying aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Hood.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Major.
Aye.
Atticus.
Aye.
Stelling.
No. So ordered. Further discussion. Fourth, next, is there any further discussion on the bill? Wait a minute. Chuck, have we taken care of all the conflicts in the bill to your knowledge?
At this time,
we've got hunting by aircraft, that's right, and we need to leave here in a minute. What's that bill number? 3219? Yeah, we'll hang on to the bill. I know we do, but just a minute. We're going to hang on to the bill. I'm not going to entertain a motion to send it out because there may be some more bills come across. We look at 3219 for a minute. 3219 prohibits persons from hunting game animals or game birds from an aircraft, etc. House Bill 2010 simply says that it's illegal to hunt, I think if I read it right, by aircraft, and there's a 2-hour qualification period, and that's it. In other words, 2010 says you take a guy by helicopter to a point, and he shoots an elk, and the helicopter and he pick it up and haul it back out, there has to be a 2-hour delay between when the guy hauled him in and when the guy hauled him out, or hauled the elk out, supposedly. House Bill 3219 simply prohibits it.
What's the purpose of the 2-hour?
That's to try to say that you can't hunt by aircraft, I guess. Currently, if I understand the game laws,
I go along with that, but I can't understand what the 2 hours can do.
Well, to try to give some separation between currently you can haul me in by helicopter, put me out right there, and I can shoot an elk, as I understand it. Is that right? Okay. If you haul me in and set me out, and I got to stand there with my gun cocked for 2 hours before I can pull the trigger, theoretically the elk would have gotten away and you'd had to haul me someplace else, and we wouldn't have been able to catch it. I think that's kind of the rationale behind it. House Bill 3219 simply says it's illegal to hunt or spot game by aircraft. The question is, do we want to put this bill into 2010? Do we want to table this bill, or what are we going to do? The House couldn't get it in there, apparently, in the committee. The committee tried and didn't get it in, and that's why
they didn't get
it. That's a question that I don't know the answer to. Maybe the Game Commission can tell me.
There was no question for that in 2010, but not in 2019.
Bob or John or somebody, Captain Hershey, can you tell us, we've got to go to a meeting. Would you look at 2010 as it's now re-engrossed, and tell me what that's going to do to predator control, or is it, or maybe you know off the top of your head, if the 2 hour period in there is going to do anything to predator control?
I'm sorry,
game animal. Yeah, that's right. Okay, we're clear. All right then, well, we'll take up 3219 at some other time. There is somewhat of a provision of that nature in the bill.
Are you going to make a competition on your tire, Bill?
Let's get out of here before we lose our...